Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Do you folks remember the movie, I think it was Broadcast News, and you had William Hurt playing the anchor guy. It's sort of a slightly more modern version of the original Network, which is the one where Peter Finch playing Howard Beale gets up and says, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." Everybody else yells out the windows, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." Well, that was a great film. Well, fast forward a little bit. There's a scene where Holly Hunter, and I forgot who this other woman is, actress, and they're trying to get this video into the system, and they're editing and they're splicing and they're throwing it together and they put it on a cassette. This is slightly older technology than we have today. Anyway, and so they're racing in, they're leaping over other people, and it goes in like just a fraction of a second. I think they had a second to spare. And then they go right to the news guy, and of course there's this news feed, you know, with the location and the whole bit and everything's all coordinated, and the audience never sees what happens. Okay, it's kind of, well, I just had one of those moments. Because there's so much material I've been putting together over the last 24 hours, and I got caught short a little bit this morning. So today's show is more of a concept than an actual really planned out event, because there is a lot going on. And it's sort of an idea I've been having. And here's what happens. You know, the easy shows are the one where I have an idea, and I look around and I see if anybody else had the idea. And I get a bunch of really good sources, and we're all on the same track. So that's kind of cool. Well, in this case, there is no such article. You know, either I have to write it or I sort of should feel like the show is the article. And so if anybody wants to, keep sharing our shows and doing that, that's going to be, we're growing. We're just not growing, obviously, as fast as I would like. You know, until we have a million listeners, you know, that to me is a start. Then I'll know I'm happy. But anyway, so it occurred to me as I'm looking at patterns, and I try and analyze patterns, and I try and, first of all, I should probably, it's not going to work. My headset cord is so tangled right now. I don't know why I feel the need to share everything with you, but I do. So, excuse me. So it seemed to me as I'm looking around at the mandates and I'm looking around at the things like the Center for Medicare Services, the folks that are funding, and the fact that $100,000 is going to COVID patients, whether they live or die. In fact, in some cases, it's more than that. In fact, I had an article which was detailing how much is being reimbursed per patient, and it ranges from $100,000 to $300,000 per state. But it's one of those – hang on, excuse me. Oop. There we go. Sinking chair is another thing I'm still dealing with. I'll get there. Anyway, so all these things are kind of combining so that article is it requires a whole subscription and a bunch of other stuff. So that one didn't stick around too long, unfortunately, because it was a good article. I'll look it up again. Again, this is kind of a show that's going to take a little bit of time to develop. I'll be finding, you know, more sources, new sources as we go. So the title of the show today, Fauci, Hillary, Backdoor Mandated National Healthcare. So that's the overall idea. And what I was thinking, you know, through all this is that you look at the entire COVID program, mandates, the way it's all organized. It's organized around vaccines. It's completely government run. Nobody gets to say anything different. You know, it's the government plan or you're out. People are being censored. It's complete control of the information like a socialist communist country would do. Death panels, basically the death panels, your hospitals, and you'll get remdesivir. You know, you'll get a ventilator and you'll like it. And then you drop dead and the hospital still makes money. In fact, they make more money on your death than your life. You know, they're killing off the old people in the nursing homes and things. There's a new variant that just popped up. I had a friend of mine sent me that story. And just because the Omicron really isn't scaring people. In fact, Omicron is actually, you know, pushing out Delta. So they're taking a more serious variant. And the mutation is far more contagious, but it's much more mild. And apparently from what we were learning from Senator Johnson's hearing yesterday, that Omicron actually makes you immune to the other variants too. So Omicron's a blessing. Omicron's great news. So of course it has, you know, the government, in order to perpetuate COVID and their socialized medicine scheme, has to get rid of the Omicron variant as quickly as possible, or the Omicold, as I call it, because that's basically what it is. and bring on something else really fast in order to keep the terror going. And that's a feature of socialist societies too, is terror, fear. You know, we have to be at war somewhere, you know, which brings about what's going on in Ukraine. You know, it's fascinating. Let me drop my bombshell on that too, that Biden's only military experience as a decision maker, you know, even though he's in the White House illegally, but his track record so far militarily as an executive or at least making executive decisions is surrender. I mean, that's his sole resume feature is surrender. Oh, it's easy for him as a senator to vote, you know, to spend money on a war. I mean, anybody can do that. But actually to be in a place where rightly or wrongly, you know, knowingly or not knowingly, you know, being run by other people or actually, you know, doing something himself, it doesn't really matter. But Biden's track record, Brandon's track record, you know, as far as being in the White House, occupying it illegally, is surrender. Russia knows that. The whole world knows that. Europe knows that. Ukraine knows that. Everybody knows that the one military decision that crossed Brandon's desk and he surrendered. And so you think Russia's scared? No, they're not scared at all. So, but the point is, if you go by the wag the dog theory of presidential politics, if you don't have a war, you need a fake one. And so this may very well be a fake war, but the danger is that it becomes a real one. And so, as we talked about yesterday with Dr. Peter Pry, the Russians have overwhelming conventional superiority. They have overwhelming nuclear superiority. They have third and fourth generation nuclear weapons that we haven't even started to make. We're 30 years behind. They've offered a peace treaty, which actually is a really good idea, which brings us back to, you know, the traditional Cold War, you know, boundaries. You have the Warsaw Pact countries being Eastern Europe. You had the Western European countries being the NATO countries. The difference is that Russia is not occupying them and creating communist countries out of Hungary, Bulgaria, Romania, Poland, then Czechoslovakia, now the Czech Republic and Slovakia, places like that. Ukraine, I'm not sure about, you know, or Belarus, I'm not too sure about that. I think Belarus is very much Russian. Of course, Ukraine is kind of on the western border of Russia, and Belarus is above it, and then Poland's next to that, you know, and then the other countries, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, those countries are right above as well. So you get this whole chain. Those are the countries bordering, and Finland, border the Soviet Union, well, the old Soviet Union, border Russia. And so it's interesting to see what's going on there. But anyway, so they need a war. And whether they get a war, you know, by propaganda or whether they actually have a real shooting war, there's always people that want a war because it distracts from all the horrible things going on here. And so the horrible things going on here is the fact that the government has perpetuated COVID about a year and a half longer than the alpha variant actually existed. So you figure July 2020 is when this really ended. Everything after that's been government, you know, preservation of COVID in order to sell the product. And so this strikes me as exactly what a national healthcare system would do. All right, so you look at the characteristics of a national healthcare system. You've got, you know, control of money. You know, it's all government, you know, seized, taken over. You have no options. You know, they tell you what the treatment is. They tell you what the waiting time is. They tell you what you're going to get. And the doctors who are paid by the government, by the socialist system, pretty much have to go along. And the evidence of that, the real evidence, if you look at the hospitals right now, you know, and the hearing yesterday was brilliant. If you didn't see Senator Johnson's hearing, and he's the only, I can't believe he's the only person in Congress that was there. So you got to figure everybody else in Congress is totally out to lunch and total waste, really, when it comes to the COVID and the government, because not a single other senator or representative from the House was there. It was only Senator Johnson. He's only one that's doing anything on this issue. I mean, seriously on this issue. You know, Rand Paul's asked some nice questions in hearings, and that's all well and good, but he's asking questions that we asked 2 years ago. So he's not really breaking any new ground here. I mean, accusing Dr. Fauci, Dr. Fascist, of lying is not really novel. It's not really new news. You know, saying that he was involved in gain-of-function research in the Wuhan lab is not really new. So the fact that Rand Paul is saying that now isn't really, you know, breaking any new ground here, whereas Ron Johnson is. You know, it's a total difference. So give me Ron Johnson, who's not a doctor, over Rand Paul, who's you know, saying nice things but not really doing anything. It's like Ted Cruz, who says some really good things, and then calls, you know, Republican Trump supporters, you know, terrorists. You know, so you can't have it both ways. You know, you're either a patriot or you're not. You're either, you know, American first or you're not. You know, you either, you know, understand that COVID is a government-run disaster, or you don't. You know, and you can be convinced that it's a government-run disaster. In fact, I try to do that every day. But the point is that it's not. You know, if you don't know it already, then you're not going to. So this is my kind of theory, my kind of philosophy, my thesis, my hypothesis. You know, call it what you will. Just don't call it a conspiracy theory, simply because. Well, actually, you could. You know, which is better than well, let me put it this way: a conspiracy theory is better than a conspiracy hypothesis. Which is where you have a bunch of maybe I'm at the conspiracy hypothesis stage. I haven't quite. No, I think I'm more at the theory stage. I think this is pretty real. And then from there we go to, of course, conspiracy. All right. So the difference between, as we say, the difference between a conspiracy and a conspiracy theory is about 6 months of research and, you know, proof and things like that. So that's where we are now. So the reason I put Fauci and Hillary together is because of their you know, quote unquote love letters. You know, going back several years, I got a story on that too. So that's what I was doing. I have about 20 sources today. I'm thinking, how am I going to have this make any kind of cogent sense to people? As I try and throw all this together. But I really didn't have anything else, and I really wanted to go with it. So we're going to kind of, you know, every once in a while, I kind of improv my way through a show. And so that's what we're doing today. So we're going to be a little scattered in the first hour. Second hour, we've got Shelby Frenette with our cruise and travel report, and we've got Josie Cossie with the Latino report. And the third hour is wide open, too. So pretty much whatever you guys, you know, want to talk about in the first hour or third hour, we're going to kind of, like I say, walk our way through this. But I really believe that that this is sort of back, you know, backdoor national health care. That really all along, this is why they don't go of it. You know, the mandates, why they won't let go of their power to mandate. And what they proved with the mandates is that way, 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 way too many Americans will comply with unconstitutional mandates. Now, thank God the courts are finally overturning some of the mask and vaccine mandates. They should have never let them go in force to begin with. In fact, these people never should have proposed them, you know, simply because anybody who honors their oath to the Constitution, you know, would immediately recognize when some minion came up and says, why don't you just mandate it? You know, you can do it. Stroke of a pen, you know, law of the land, Strobe Talbert, you know, Bill Clinton's, you know, guy, or when Obama said, hey, I got a phone and a pen. Pretty cool, huh? You know, I can mandate it because I'm who I am. No, you can't. And so anybody who was a decent constitutional elected official would immediately recognize that mandates are unconstitutional. You can't do it. And if it's a good idea, Americans are going to do it anyway. So if you have to mandate something, it's probably proof that it's not a good idea, that people are objecting to it. They're saying, wait a minute. You know, people aren't stupid. Misinformed, yes, you know, in a paranoid mass psychosis caused by government, sure, because of the channeling of information, but people aren't stupid. So they're reacting to what they consider the best information available at the time, and if the best information is literally the worst information, then people are going to react accordingly. So is this all about national health care? Is this all about putting us under government health? Is this, and I was reading an article earlier. It was talking about, well, United States, you know, you bastion of free enterprise, you're under a whole bunch of national health care anyway. And in fact, they're actually right. You know, Medicare, if you're over 65, that's national health care. The VA, if you're a veteran, that's national health care. And we all know how well those work. Okay. And so the problems that are there, you know, so in other words, the things that they're touting as being the examples of national health care that we have are some of the worst examples of care in the country. You look at the Center for Medicare, Medicaid Systems Funding, you know, the folks with the money that put people on the no treatment remdesivir ventilator death march. That's mandated by the government because they hold the money, which is another huge aspect of national health care. Is the money, you know. So in other words, who controls the money controls the programs. Who controls the programs control the people. And if you remember back, another aspect of national health care is control of your behavior. You know, remember Michelle Obama, you know, was big on you better have the right diet, you know, and it's not a big step from you better have the right diet to we're going to withhold your health care unless you have the right diet, you know. So if you weigh too much, they're not going to treat you. If you own guns, they're not going to treat you. If you know, they can do anything with the whole point of national health care is national population control. And I don't mean just in numbers. I mean in terms of everything. Because if you control, you know, where your medicine is, that's everything. You know, having had some rather one particularly intrusive medical procedure being open heart surgery to repair a valve, which is working really well, by the way. So I'm not against medicine. Believe me, I'm not. In fact, I'm anything. I'm absolutely pro medicine, but I'm pro private medicine because that's where the innovation is. But I'm also pro people shouldn't die because they can't afford their health care. And so we'll talk about that more as we go, because there are ways to do this, to have, like I say, a fully private medical care system, but still have a voucher program for folks that are lower income, be able to deduct or even have tax credits. I think tax credits are better for anything you spend on Medicare, the same way that corporations have it. So I would transfer the tax benefits from corporations to people, so greater incentive for people to control their health care. You open up the healthcare process so that people know the cost. They actually get a bill and they go, huh, that's what that costs. Well, that's interesting. Okay. You know, so maybe I can spend my money elsewhere and have more medical savings and things like that. That's a whole other discussion. So I believe in medicine has to remain private. In fact, most of the world, it's interesting that all those socialist countries, oh, look at our socialized medicine. We have a great program. Well, most of the procedures, most of the drugs, most of the things that they use came from, you know, private folks in the United States developing them. You know, big pharma occasionally does, you know, I guess they get it right some of the time, you know, but there's a whole bunch of problems. Right now, the problem, of course, is what they're doing. This sort of one-track vaccine system is the worst aspect of national health care. It's like a national death panel. I remember Sarah Palin, who's back in the news. It's kind of interesting. Yes, I'm still trying to reach her to get her on the show. But Sarah Palin talked about death panels, you know, rationing of health care. You know, what's more rationing than what's going on now? They're not actually rationing, they're banning. You know, not only saying that, you know, we're not recommending, we're not paying for hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, things like that. They're actually saying you can't use them. So you can't use the cures. All you can use are the government things that will kill you. I mean, that's insane. Only a government would be that irrational. You know, corporations would try to do that, but in a judicial system, you know, with lawsuits and liability, they never get anywhere. So that's the other thing too. There's no liability. You know, there's no liability for the vaccine people. There's no liability for anything. They simply don't have it. And so this is a very, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon where we are. So let me play you something. I got to play my stuff earlier in the show to kind of get things going here. So let me give you my PSA. I haven't played this for a little bit. My PSA on vaccines. And I hope it doesn't depress you too much. But it's really a sad situation. But that's where we stand right now. Be right back.
This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. You've all heard those ads for people who have suffered medical or health tragedies, which say you may be entitled to compensation. But if you have suffered injuries or crippling diseases or medical procedures that went horribly wrong, it's not the compensation you need, it's the knowledge you should have had before the condition you suffer from now. So that you are never in that position in the future, I strongly recommend that you do not get any COVID vaccines. Get informed. Do your own research. For 99.97% of Americans, your natural immunity will give you, at worst, only moderate symptoms of COVID. If you've already had COVID, it's virtually impossible to get it again. There are effective cures for COVID, which will get you completely over the virus. There is no cure for the COVID-19 vaccines. Once you start down the road of DNA modification, there is no going back.
Okay, we're back, and looks like Josh from Illinois is on the line, and he joined us for the first time, I think, last week sometime. I kind of lose track of time as all this stuff goes, but good morning, Josh. What's on your mind today, from what I've talked about or anything else? Hopefully what I've talked about.
Oh, no, when it's coming to the vaccine, this is the first time in history that people that haven't taken the vaccine are being condemned by a vaccine that clearly hasn't worked, you know, because if it worked, why are we even talking about it, right?
Well, there wouldn't be an issue if it worked. You know, people would line up and take it. You know, and this is what I was saying earlier. Yeah. If the policy makes sense, you know, people will do it. You don't have to mandate it. The fact that you have to mandate it is pretty much proof that it doesn't work, that people don't want it. You know, and you still have informed consent. And this is why I'm saying that we're coming to a backdoor mandated national healthcare system, because we're being denied the information. I mean, we're being lied to. And they're refusing our consent. We're getting mandates. So not only you've gone from informed consent to propaganda mandate. You know, that's the reverse of it. So absolutely, you know, I'm right with you there.
Yeah, no, I mean, the entire thing is it's seemingly ridiculous, because they said that, you know, all you have to do is wear the mask for a little bit until we get the vaccine. Then we get the vaccine. Oh, all you have to do is take the vaccine. A bunch of people took the vaccine. What do they talk about? Herd immunity and all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
the herd immunity
yeah,
is not
here
nonsense.
We are today.
Yeah.
No.
Herd immunity
no,
works.
I'm saying I'm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Vaccine
no,
herd immunity.
No, that's
is
not
nonsense.
My problem.
Yeah.
I know. I'm aware of that. I'm saying that they were saying X amount of people, X percentage of people have to get the vaccine. X amount of people got that vaccine. And
yeah.
Now you have a bunch of people that are vaccinated, still getting COVID, still passing COVID along to other people. So,
mm-hmm.
They lost all credibility is my entire point.
Yeah. Do you think they knew that ahead of time, that these things weren't going to work at all? Or do you think they didn't care? They just wanted to throw them on the market anyway?
Well, what are they talking about right now? Straight out of Davos, they're talking about, COVID, because of COVID, we have to do all this great reset stuff and reset the entire economy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're talking about that now. I didn't say that. They're saying that. They've devalued
our
currency.
That, yeah. It raised an interesting question with Davos and the fact that I've got a timeline for COVID. I've been sort of building it for the last couple of years. And one of the interesting things that struck me is the fact that the World Economic Forum, met on this. They had this Project 201. They went through this whole rehearsal for what they were going to do to us a few months later in terms of COVID. Because I know this is all planned. The vaccine, I think, came 10 years before they created the virus. There's a new variant out there now that suddenly showed up all around the world all at the same time. Wow, how'd that happen? What a coincidence. Because Omicron is scaring people enough. And it's actually, as came out of the hearing yesterday, it's curing a bunch of folks. Or it's making them immune to all the other variants. So you get this really weak Omicron, which is running around the world very fast, and one of the byproducts of that, as I learned from the Senator Johnson hearing, is that it makes you immune to the other variants too, the more dangerous ones like Delta. Of course, the Alpha variant's already gone. I think Delta's on its way out too, because how could a weaker variant take over? It's actually replacing it. So the government has to have a new variant, to maintain the product, to maintain the industry. It's kind of like smoking in a way, because smoking kills. Smoking kills people when you use the product as intended. So does the vaccine. So this whole vaccine program and the tobacco industry have a lot in common. It's really interesting that nothing good comes from tobacco. Nothing. It's not nutritional. You don't benefit from the smoke. It's like a fire. What kills you? The smoke. I'm getting a little background noise from your line. So whatever's going on around you, might want to try or maybe it's just, I don't know, it's interference or paper shuffling or something like that. Anyway, so we try to keep the background noise down just so we get the best signal out there. I'm guilty myself. I shuffle things around all the time, while I'm on the air. Anyway, so this whole plan, this whole, craziness that's going on, why would it go through the World Economic Forum? This is a medical thing. Why didn't it, the WHO's involved, the World Health Organization. But the fact is the driving force behind a lot of this is the World Economic Forum. And that's why I say this is a business. COVID is a business. COVID is a marketing campaign. The vaccine is the product. The advertising is the fear. It's basically a business model. For a government, big pharma, big tech, cabal.
Well, you heard what they were saying at the World Economic Forum the other day. She said that we elites were. The good part about it is that we are coming together as elites and we're getting along very well. And unfortunately, in every single country.
Yeah.
Do what?
I said, isn't that special? They're all getting along so well. The elites
yeah, I know.
Are getting along. The elites have always gotten along.
Yeah.
Look at the monarchies of Europe before World War One.
Oh, no. The beauty of what she said was hilarious because they're not supposed to admit that they're elites, but they were doing it on a public stage on camera recorded for the world to see. So
Ooh.
She was like, yeah, us elites, we're getting along very well. But unfortunately, in every country all around the world, they don't trust the elites more and more as this stuff goes on. So we don't understand how we're supposed to handle it.
Yeah, you're supposed to shut up and go away and leave us alone.
You're not actually special. Yeah, I know. You're not actually special people.
Mm-hmm.
You have money
well,
in the bank. That's fine.
Well, it's interesting. We did a show on this before, the separation of the elites from, the masses. The masses get government education. They get into these factory school, the schools that are modeled on the 1800s that have bells, when it's time to change tasks or change classrooms. I don't know why the teachers don't go back and forth. It'd be a lot faster. You leave the kids in the room, course, they never get up and get any exercise. But the point is that we're on an 1800s factory model for education. But if you're the elite, you get to go to Phillips Exeter Academy. And we actually went over the academic program there. It's pretty good. You know, so training tomorrow's leaders to go to Harvard and Yale to become tomorrow's leaders. And so the elites, you know, they start at birth. And they really do. And it doesn't matter what country you're in. Every country has their private academies, you know, their corporate heads, you know, their the government heads, you know, the leaders. And they all get together and go to school together, and they grow up and they think they can run the world. And that kind of arrogance sort of completely defeats the whole idea of a republic, you know, where we're individuals and we're all equal. Sure, you know, some people are going to, you know, rise to the top and others are going to, you know, be satisfied with lesser or, you know, have misfortunes or who knows what's going to happen. We're not equal. You know, we start off equal, but where you end up is really up to you, and a certain amount of fate and luck and other things that go into it. But these ideas, these people feel, you know, it's like born into royalty. You know, it's like the modern version of royalty, where we're better than you. Yeah, that's the problem.
Yes.
Remember the movie Titanic? Remember that really awful was married to or tried to marry Kate Winslet,
fiance,
movie fantasies?
No, yeah. The fiancé was the worst. The fiancé was the worst. He was like, I'm worth so much goddamn money, nothing could possibly happen to me.
Exactly. You know, which half is being saved in the Titanic? The better half, you know, the rich, in other words, the richer half. You know, and it's just this whole arrogance, that just the incredible, you know, we're the good people, we're the right people, we're going to go smoke brandy, I mean, smoke cigars and drink brandy, there we go, might as well get in the right order, you know, and it's fascinating, but you look at them, but which goes back to the basic question, why is this an economic model? Why is COVID an economic forum thing, unless it's a business, unless it's a worldwide enterprise?
This was exactly the same dynamic that was happening before. This has happened every time there's a revolution. There are the people with the least ability to actually do anything positive. You know, you're not going to see these people out there actually trying to help people. They don't care about people. I'm not even worried about people helping people. I think people should learn how to help themselves and, you know, build up their own brand. But I'm saying that every single time in history where people that did not earn the way that they were treating other people, especially higher tier people, you know, we saw this in France, we saw this in England, we saw this in America.
Mm-hmm.
People, they always do this all the time. They think that they're so untouchable. And we're doing that again right now. You're seeing the protests all across Europe, in Bulgaria and France and even in England.
Oh, here.
And I don't even like it. Oh, no.
Here.
Yeah, here is a different thing. We're a freedom-loving people. But when you see it over in Bulgaria, holy crap, my friend. Yeah, holy crap. So they think that they are high class. They think that they're elite. They think that they're untouchable. They're doing it all over the world, but people are pushing back in certain areas of the world. And they don't seem to have a history book amongst them because it always ends badly for people that think they're untouchable. We always destroy them.
Well, eventually, yeah, but they do a lot of damage in the meantime. That's the problem. You look at the Ceausescu's in Romania. I mean, they were shot by their own people. They just put up against the wall and shot, you know. And rightly or wrongly, they were horrible people who completely oppressed their own population with the blessings of the then Soviet Union. And so you look at some of these things that happened. I mean, the way Poland did it was better. You know, you had the Polish Pope, you had Lech Walesa, you had Solidarity, which is, a ship, you know, workers union. And they eventually, you know, took freedom with the help of Ronald Reagan. And Margaret Thatcher, and basically threw off, their Soviet government, inspired government, and freedom, you know, kind of went through Western Europe, and the Berlin Wall came down the whole bit. I mean, I was fortunate enough to see the Berlin Wall before it came down. I was in Europe in 82, and I think it was like 85, 86, when, I'm not sure when it came down, shortly after Ronald Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. So freedom works. You know, freedom is very popular. Freedom happens very quickly when it happens, too. That's the other thing, is that these revolutions, you know, when they throw off their communist overlords, they get going very quickly. I think the same thing can happen here. But we do have protests. The protests are worldwide right now. And the thing is, here's the big mistake that the elites are making. They're pushing something that we know doesn't work. You know, see, we have the internet now. You know, what makes things different now from, say, the 30s? You know, it was easier.
Oh, yeah,
no,
when they had like eight, they had like five radio stations.
Oh, yeah. It was easy to take over the media.
Yeah.
You know, back when we only had three news programs at night. That was it. And you had, you know, two or three newspapers per city. You know, one conservative, one middle of the road, and one leftist. or sometimes more leftist. But the thing is, you know, it wasn't that long ago in this country. You know, you look at the 60s and the 70s, you had NBC, CBS, and ABC. And that was it. That was your news. You know, Walter Cronkite, Tom Brokaw, and John Gentler. You know, that was the news. That was all you got. You know, and now we've got an infinite variety of media sources. So one of the best things for freedom, you know, unknowingly to these folks, is the internet and social media. So what's the first thing? Well, they haven't cramped down on the internet yet, but they've simply – well, actually, they have. A lot of stories are censored and disappear. But a lot of it's more the social media.
The communication with the social media, yes.
Yeah. But, you know, but for every YouTube censor, there's a Rumble or a BitChute mm-hmm. or something else. Mm-hmm. You know, for every time they censor somebody on one platform, they go to another. You know, I think Trump's new platform is going to be huge. And so being creative, you know – go ahead. Yeah, what were you going to say?
I'm sorry, was that Getter?
Getter's in there too. Yeah, all these ones. Parler, yeah. Getter, Frank Speech 45, some of the ones. But the problem with those is they're too small. See, the reason we're not going to them is because Facebook is huge. And I'm on Facebook. I'm always being restricted. But I'm there because, A, it makes a great filing system for my articles. You know, I don't have to have them all at the bottom of my computer. I can just go to my Facebook screen and go, oh, here we go. This is interesting. You know, and pull
Buddy,
them out that
you're
way.
You're such a likable person. I don't understand.
Who, me?
Yes, you.
Where'd that come from? Oh, why I'm being restricted?
Complimenting you. Yes, you're such a likable person that there's no way they would allow you to talk to people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, here's the thing, too. And this is, here's something else that's really incredible. You know, Action Radio would not exist 20 years ago. It wouldn't. We don't have the components technologically. You know, I'm able to broadcast from my home on a computer screen to the entire world. And we've got folks, you know, I think Azerbaijan and Lithuania are the newest countries that have kind of jumped on the Action Radio bandwagon.
It's you interesting need to push that Georgia. You need to push that Georgia market.
You push that Georgia market. You tell them. Do you have friends in Georgia? Let them know. I'm serious. That's how this thing spreads, right?
I went to Tbilisi like 6 years ago. I can't go back.
Uh-oh. Were you
it's
bad?
It's too hard to go back. It's too. Uh-oh. No, I did not do bad. I just, okay. You know, today, COVID, you know. Every excuse not to go over there.
Well, I'm not traveling either. You know, not until I'm going to go to Orlando for CPAC. I'm still waiting to get my media credential. Hopefully that'll come through today. But no, I'm not. I have no desire to fly, you know, on an airliner anywhere and wear a stupid mask. I mean, I got a cloth mask
just
for that purpose.
You're driving down to Orlando?
Well, I live in Florida, so it's not a big deal.
Oh, that's okay. That's not even fair then. Yeah,
I'm driving
okay,
across.
So it's a day trip for you.
because I'm in the great Milton, Florida paradise, you know, by the Blackwater River. We're near Pensacola, home of the Blue Angels. So that's where I'm broadcasting from.
I live in Gainesville and Jacksonville, and let me tell you, mm-hmm. hot and ridiculous rain patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And no, that's pretty much all I have to report.
Well, actually, that's a lot of Florida, and that's part. I actually love the rain. You know, I was in California for 30 years, and my last 5 years, there were 5 years of drought. We didn't have any rain. You know, I see a thunderstorm, I go out and play in it, and people are like, what is this wacko California doing, you know, doing out here playing in the rain? I haven't seen any. You know, it's kind of cool. I'll just sit out there and watch thunder. I'll watch lightning and listen to thunder and go, wow, this is cool. And, of course, the lifetime Floridians think I'm a total, you know, whack job. It's really hysterical. Who is this idiot?
Well, what? Well, hold on. This is my question. Why do you keep doing it in the nude?
I don't. You're casting a person in my character. You've never met me.
I know.
I may enjoy the thunderstorm, but I'm not stupid. Yeah, no, it's okay. Yeah, but I'm sure there are people who do that. You know, actually, you know who would do that? If you look at California, it was interesting. We used to have the pagans, and the pagans are huge. You know, because they're sort of atheist pagan. A lot of the population anyway. And the summer solstice, winter solstice, they'd all race up to this place called Mount Hamilton, and they go to Twin Peaks and they watch the sunset. And it's like the hippies that are still hippies. Or their kids, their hippie grandkids. And it's really funny. It's a big population. And they will, every pagan ritual, they're all over San Francisco. I don't know how many are still wearing clothes or not. But there's another thing about, you know, I remember too. We're totally off subject, but this is fun. Beta Breakers is a race that it's not really a race. It's more of a gathering. And it runs from San Francisco Bay to the Breakers, which is the ocean. It's about a little over seven miles across the city. And there's always the occasional person running naked. And it's hysterical because you just look at them and laugh. You know, what kind of an idiot are you? You know, it's pretty funny. But so San Franciscans will do it. They'll actually run in a mass public event, you know, wearing all kinds of ridiculous costumes. in this race. It's every spring. It's like a spring ritual. But, yeah, you've got all kinds. So, yeah, if you want to see naked folks in San Francisco, it's not hard to do. They're out there.
Yeah, no. You could just go there on a daily basis. I wasn't trying to derail. What were you talking about?
I don't know, but, yeah, just you kind of threw me there for a minute. What is he talking about? Yeah, anyway.
I enjoy a good thunderstorm. What were we talking about to begin with?
Who knows? This is what makes radio fun. Where I originally started was backdoor mandated national health care. And so probably in the third hour, because we're going to have some other folks coming up here at 7 o'clock and 7:30. But I've got some it's interesting. I prepare all these sources, then I just kind of talk about them. You know, so I don't actually get to them, but having, you know, sort of read through them, I can kind of do that. But there's tell me what you think of this. There's this sort of, you know, strange alliance between Dr. Fascist and Hillary Clinton. I don't have a good nickname for her yet. Do you like my name for Dr. Fascist? Genocidal, psychopathic, narcissistic, avaricious, compulsively lying vaccine drug pusher.
Yeah, no, that's easy. Dr. Fascist is easy. Hillary, all you have to do is acknowledge that the fact that the people that go against the Clinton family end up tending to die, so you call her Killery.
Killery, okay.
Killery,
so we
and
got
Dr. Fascist.
Oh, that's perfect. Thank you. We're going to quote Josh. Josh is giving me Killery. So we got Killery. So of all those folks that here's a new name for you to learn. So Killery is code name for Hillary. Dr. Fascist, everybody knows who that is. You know, I've been saying it for a year and a half now. Okay. So Hillary is the only person I know whose first name everybody knows who the person is. You know, I say Hillary, everybody knows who we're talking about. But think about this. Look at all the successes in her life.
Are you talking about that million-dollar baby?
I'm not sure. I was doing a little silence there because she doesn't have any. The only thing she does well.
I'm sorry.
Which million
I'm
dollar baby? Is
okay,
it?
I'll be quiet.
Which million dollar baby? What are we talking about?
Hillary Swank, million dollar baby, the boxer that broke her neck.
Oh,
don't worry about
different.
It.
That was a good film. That was really great. Yeah,
that was a great movie.
I think it's about. I think it's about true. Is that a true story or not?
Yeah, it's a true story. Yeah, she got rocked really hard, and she broke her neck when they put the stool on the tarp when they shouldn't have. And yeah, it was terrible.
Wow,
terrible story.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood does some amazing stuff. Anyway, so back to Killery. So it seems to me that you look at Killery's track record. You know, State Department, she gave away 20% of our uranium. In the Senate, she voted for all kinds of wars that obviously she was never going to fight or anybody she knew. You know, I was always against the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. There was no purpose for any of those except to spend money, make government people rich, military contractors rich, to borrow all kinds of money, create inflation, and spend, you know, anyway. So we know the stories on those. And then you look at all the other stuff she's done. You know, the Clinton Foundation, which is good at taking illegal money, especially for Haiti. Remember, they're supposed to give all kinds of money to Haiti. It never quite made it there. You know, all the collusion with Russia.
Do you actually know what she did in Haiti?
I don't know exactly. Do you have a good handle on that?
Yeah, I do, actually. They were able to rally Americans to donate $500 million.
Wow.
To rebuild Haiti. And she ended up giving it to her brother. And his building contracts, yeah. So, they didn't talk to the Haitian people at all. He ended up putting a few little metal shacks up. He didn't actually do anything with the money. He just kind of squandered it.
Where'd it go?
And
do we know where it went? Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Well,
you and me are on the same page there.
Yeah, I mean, it could go in all kinds of things. It could go in everything from, gun control efforts to spending in all kinds of different areas to rigging the system. You know, well, here's the way I view the world right now. You've got Brandon, who's the puppet. And by the way, Brandon, I mentioned this earlier. I'd be curious your opinion. If you were Russia and you saw that the only executive military action that Brandon had taken was to surrender to the Taliban, would you be afraid? Obviously, this is a rhetorical question.
No. I would feel like my dick grew 3 inches.
I
sorry, my friend. I'm sorry. No, that's the reality of the situation. I would feel like I was very confident for no reason, because obviously they're still NATO. NATO hates everybody.
Ukraine's not NATO.
Huh?
Are you saying there still is a NATO?
Yeah, to a certain degree. I don't believe that they actually give a crap about the other membering parties. We've been funding it this entire time.
They don't want to fight Russians.
I know they.
Are you kidding?
Hold on. No, hold on. No, they won't fight this. I'm saying that the threat is possible. We have bases in every country outside of the country from Russia. The entire point of us having American bases was other countries being terrified of Russia, right? That's the entire point. And they didn't pay their bill. There is no reason for us to be there. There is no reason for us to save Ukraine outside of the fact that they would give them access to the Crimean Peninsula, and we would actually have an access to go out through the Black Sea.
Yeah, let me look up.
If there was ever
exactly
a conflict.
I got to find exactly where Crimea is. Let's see if I can get
it's
my map.
It's that south part right next to that sea part.
Yeah, you're familiar
Ukraine.
With this. Hang on.
I went out of my way to understand this because I was like, holy crap, if I have to die in a war, who am I going to be drafted into a war against?
Are you of draftable age? You don't have to tell me exactly, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, I can still pick up a gun. They'll probably draft me.
All right, so let's see. So there's Ukraine, there's Sea of Azov, and there's the Black Sea. Then we got Poland, Belarus, and Russia on the borders. Also, Moldova
Crimea.
And Romania. Crimea is where?
Look down at Crimea. Oh, crap. We're doing... All right, here.
Is that where Sevastopol is?
Yeah, but hold on. There's a very specific area that they used to have their fleet before. They had to annex it to separate it.
This is a lot of radio.
Yeah, that... No, that's actually real. No, Sevastopol obviously is the southernmost part of Crimea.
Yeah,
but they already annexed that. But now they're trying to annex the entirety of Ukraine because they're trying to get control of Odessa.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's not cool.
Okay, there's Crimea. All right, there's where I see it. Okay, so now this makes sense. You guys got it maps out. I did this with Dr. Pryor on Monday. Did you hear our show yesterday?
No, I haven't even had my phone.
Well, you listen online. In fact, most of the folks listen online. I know a lot of shows people call in on their phone to listen to, but this is a talk show. So you call me, I'm going to put you on the air. Unless, of course, you're one of my band callers, in which case I don't. But anyway, but you look at that. we went over the 6 points of the Russian peace treaty yesterday, and they actually make a lot of sense. It would restore kind of the old Cold War balance, you know, where the buffer zone for Russia would be Eastern Europe, and the West would also be the Western Europe's buffer zone would be Eastern Europe too. The difference is that Russia wouldn't occupy the nations as the communist Soviet Union, but they still have that buffer zone. In other words, NATO stays west. You know, the Warsaw Pact countries, even though they're not a Warsaw Pact, they stay east.
Which
and,
is smart.
Which would be smart. And then we'd kind of leave each other alone. Then we could, Dr. Pryor was arguing that we could have not an ally of Russia, but a strategic partner. In other words, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So that would be China. You know, so in other words, Russia and the United States would do well to do that. So I see where Crimea is. It's on the southern part of Ukraine. It's right in the middle there. It actually doesn't touch Russia. There's a tiny little. Is there like a bridge from Crimea directly to Russia?
You already yes, there absolutely is.
Okay, all right. I'm just looking.
How they ran the troops in there to annex it.
Yep. So it's right below Ukraine. Now Ukraine's big. Ukraine's bigger than Germany and France. Ukraine's a big country. People don't realize.
You know what that.
That
is, right? Ukraine literally means borderland.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is that what Ukraine in Ukrainian?
That's
Ukraine
why we
means...
used to call it the. We used to call it the Ukraine instead of Ukraine.
Uh-huh.
We used to call it the Ukraine because it was the borderland.
So what's Belarus mean? Do you know what Belarus means?
Belarus. Belarusia. I don't know. The softer form of Russia. I have no idea.
Well, I was thinking Russia because it's like something Russia.
Yeah, no, that was a part of Russia. And I don't know if you ever saw that movie. What was that movie with the kid from Harry Potter, the ginger kid?
I was thinking Wag the Dog is where you were going to go, but that's different.
No.
What's that?
Defiance?
I didn't see it, no.
Well, write that down. No,
okay.
It was a whole movie where the Germans were obviously infiltrating everything, and the Russians were obviously infiltrating everything from another direction.
Uh-huh.
And the Jews had to hide in the forest, and they ended up saving like 1,000 Jews from Belarus.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's,
it's
yeah.
an amazing
movie. Holocaust history is unbelievable, especially in its cruelty. So Ukraine in World War II, I mean, I imagine the Russians just kind of rolled through there on the way. It was like the waypoint.
There was no Ukraine in the World War II. That was part of Russia. What happened was after Russia lost the Cold War, they were able to separate and become their own thing. But they separated, the 80s, and they ended up starving 5 million Ukrainians because they took their crops to feed Russians.
Oh yeah, Russia's big on that. I remember the collective farms. I mean, Stalin killed.
Yeah,
millions.
They love
killed Georgians.
Shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Exactly. Yeah. interesting. Now, if I'm looking at a map of Ukraine, there's a rather large river lake system running right through the middle of it.
Yeah, that's why they want it back now. That's why Russia wants it back now. It's their opportunity to. Build ships and send it up the river, build ships and send it out through that strait down the Black Sea off of...
So if this is part of Russia, what's that river system called? I'm just looking at it right now. Do you know what that is? The big river?
I don't remember. I remember the biggest battles in World War II. I cannot remember the local... I have no idea. What was it called?
Okay. Well, and here's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering why the Ukraine-Russian border is where it is when you've got this huge – see, borders usually are mountains or rivers. You know, there's usually some kind of natural phenomena that creates a border. And so I'm wondering why the border between Ukraine and Russia is where it is, and it's a rather jagged, strange line compared to this river system running right through that would have made a perfect border. Well, I mean, Germany has the Rhine running right through it. I mean, different countries, I think the – you know, there are different rivers running all through Europe that make for sort of natural divisions.
Actually, I might have an answer for that.
Okay.
The reason – it's no different than the reason that the Middle East and parts of Africa are divvied up in ways that make no sense because they're tribal, right, in the Middle East and Africa, right? They're divvied up. It makes absolutely no sense. There's constant conflict. They're always fighting each other, killing each other, doing all that nonsense.
Yeah.
It's probably no different when it comes to Europe. There was a divvy up after World War II and during the Cold War when they had to relinquish land. They had to decide how much land they were willing to give up to keep their power. I mean, literally look at how much land Russia lost. I just think that's what it is. I think that they had to compromise. They had to come together as, leadership and be like, how much land can we actually give up to these people?
Yeah.
But that was the land that they were willing to give up.
Yeah. See, I want to go to Odessa. I think it'd be a fascinating place to go.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? Oh, man, I would love to go there.
Yeah.
I would love to go to what used to be Stalingrad.
Which one used to be Stalingrad?
I have no idea anymore. They keep changing names. They actually, they had hidden cities.
No, St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg was Stalingrad. Leningrad.
No.
Volgograd.
No, sir. No.
Okay.
St. Petersburg was always St. Petersburg.
Okay.
That was never a thing.
So Stalingrad is
Stalingrad.
What
Stalingrad. I'd have to look at my map again. That was actually. In the
Volgograd?
Ukraine?
Okay.
Kyiv. Yeah, it's possible.
When did Kiev become Kyiv? Or is it always Kyiv?
No. Did they change the spelling of it? Oh, Kiev has always been Kiev.
It's the Russian. Kiev. What is wrong with you? Let's do the Russian accent later. But you look at a map. I've got a map right now of Europe. And you've got Russia, you got Moscow, which is fairly close. Moskva.
No, this was very far away. They could never – no, they had this this order. They had this order in Russia where when it came to Moscow, the no step back clause, did you ever hear about that?
Oh, they don't go back from the current border?
You cannot take a step back because if you take a step back – the person behind you should shoot you because you are trying to retreat from the enemy in front of you.
Yeah, Russians were pretty good about, yeah, they'd minesweep with people. I think the Iranians did that too. You know, you don't mind. That's how you can tell when your nation doesn't give a damn about you, when they send you into the minefields. You know, let's go sweep the minefields for the troops behind you. You know, run across the field.
Yeah, just
you blow up,
walk in a straight line, and we'll write a nice, comfy photo home. We'll send a nice letter home to your family.
Yeah, yeah. You bravely died in the service of the fatherland or the motherland. Yeah, it's great. But you look at a map here, too. This is kind of interesting because you look at Germany. Does Germany really want to fight Russia again? You know, I went to East Berlin. You know, again, before the wall came down, I went through Checkpoint Charlie. I spent a full day in East Berlin. I walked back far enough to see the bullet holes still in the buildings from World War II. That's how bad it was. And so, you know, and I'd love to go back and see Germany now that they've unified. They didn't reunify. They unified, you know. I got this wrong. Anyway, I'm not gonna worry about it. But the point is that Germany invaded in Operation Barbarossa, you know, attacked the then Soviet Union, idiots. And then Germany, you know, the Russians always crossed at the cost of millions of their own people and ran through Germany. In fact, we split it. We had the sectors, you know, West Germany was divided between Britain, France, and the United States. East Germany was Russian, basically. And so it was a fascinating thing to see Checkpoint Charlie and the divisions that were there. And I'd like to go back now and see where it is. But the idea that Germany wants to suddenly, you know, because they don't even contribute 2% to NATO, that they want to have anything to do with Ukraine and Russia. I mean, there are people alive today that were kids, you know, like little toddlers and, you know, 5-6-year-olds, you know, in World War II that would probably remember the Russians being there. I have memories of being 5 years old, you know, and if I was invaded by a country, I'd remember it. So the Germans today that remember being invaded by Russia, you know, kicking their butts back again. And so it's a very interesting phenomenon. I mean, does Germany have the stomach for that kind of stuff again? And Russia's gambling, of course, they don't. So the idea that Brandon, the surrenderer to the Taliban, you know, is going to have any influence. I mean, that's what he's known for. That's his single military decision was surrender.
Do you know the history of Afghanistan and why they call that the Empire Killer? Because nobody goes into Afghanistan trying to conquer it. Nobody actually wins because you can't conquer people that have they don't care.
No, they just go back to fighting each other.
That's the entire problem.
Yeah, the only,
yeah I know that.
I'm
just saying that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty and the darkest part of Afghanistan. They don't care how many of them you kill. If you try to save them, they don't care. If you try to kill them, they don't care. They're just going to build up. They're like freaking ants in an anthill.
Well, it's fascinating. You know, this is Afghanistan is best left alone. You know,
yeah, leave them alone.
Leave them alone.
To kill each other.
Exactly. I mean, you go back to the Russian history there, the British history. You know, I think Hannibal, you know, Alexander the Great. I mean, I think they've got a long history of failures in Afghanistan. You'd think they'd learned by now. You would think that going to, you know, as soon as I heard we were going to Afghanistan, this is 20 years ago, I'm going, oh, God, no, please, not Afghanistan. I mean, you know, of all the places in the world to go, this is the worst. This is the dumbest. This is the place.
Please let us just take Syria. How easy would it be to take Syria?
Well, just don't go. You know, I mean, this idea that, and then of course the neocons, you know, will yell at you for being isolationist. Well, if isolationist means not, you know, losing trillions of dollars and thousands upon thousands of American lives to both death, injury, you know, PTSD and everything else along the way, yeah, call me an isolationist.
There was never a win in Afghanistan. There was no way anybody was going
to
win that.
Well, which,
the
which
Afghans
is the perfect
do not
war.
Care.
It's
I know.
It's,
no,
it's
no, that's
perfect government
perpetual
war.
Perpetual war.
Yeah,
the
well,
Afghans
that's right.
do not care about modernization. They don't care about freedom. They don't care about anything other than being Afghans, living in that particular plot of land. They don't care about anything. They will kill you. They will die. They will die to remain there. And then what are you supposed to do after that? What are you actually supposed to do? Because they're just going to remain there. They don't actually care. They don't want to save the plot of land. They just live there.
Yeah. No, but I really think this is what the permanent war class was all about, was creating this this land that are trying to just, you know, keep us at war perpetually. And what's the first thing? I mean, they're bored without a war. you know, it's fascinating that as soon as the surrender, you know, was basically gotten over and not on the front pages anymore, you know, all of a sudden Ukraine pops up. And that's not an accident. These people have to have a war somewhere. That's all they do. Anyway, I'm going to put you on hold for a little bit. I want to play my piece on this week for Santa Rosa Volunteers. And so hang on just a sec. Wait, what did I just do? Hang on. If I click something wrong, my whole world disappears. All right. So let me try this again. Let's put you on hold. Let's do that. And what I want to do, and we're going to have Shelby hopefully joining us right after this, but I want to play my Santa Rosa piece. This is, and Josh, stick around. You don't have to go. I mean, you're welcome to stick around for the show. But I want to play this, and before we get Shelby in here, just to make sure I get all my stuff done. This is Anti-Federalist Papers number 8. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments. Insights into our founding documents, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers here in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Santa Rosa Volunteers is available at their website, srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Anti-Federalist number 8 was written by a federal Republican. That was the name they gave. The author, rather than go over the incredibly repetitive and fallacious arguments of Alexander Hamilton and the other Federalists, who were simply making up horrors in order to scare people into ratifying the Constitution, the author here starts with the Articles of Confederation and what made them successful. A federal Republican says, "By the Articles of Confederation, the Congress of the United States was vested with powers for conducting the common concerns of the continent. They had the sole and exclusive right and power of determining on peace and war, of sending and receiving ambassadors, of entering into treaties and alliances, and of pointing out the respective quotas of men and men which shall each state furnish." This pretty much takes care of the flawed argument that the states could not defend themselves or each other, and are not automatically guaranteed to fall into a few confederations declaring and waging war on each other. That simply didn't happen under the Articles of Confederation, much as the Federalists said it would without the brand new and very different Constitution. People, including me, tend to forget that there was a working Congress operating under the Articles of Confederation, preserving liberty and providing for the national defense. That will be the subject of my next report. The author goes on, "But it was expressly provided that the money to be supplied by each state should be raised by the authority and direction of the legislature thereof, thus reserving to the states the important privilege of levying taxes upon their citizens in such manner as might be most comfortable to their peculiar circumstances and form of government. With powers thus constituted, was Congress enabled to unite the general exertions on the continent in the cause of liberty and to carry us triumphantly through a long and bloody war." Money, which means taxes. One of the most important principles of a republic is taxation with representation. The closer the government to the people, the better the representation. That's why the states should tax their citizens and pass on the required amount to the federal government with no direct taxation from the federal government on the people. And here in one paragraph, the author lays out the entire problem with not only the Constitution, but the disastrous way it was put together and released to the people and states to ratify. A federal Republican says, "Upon this principle, a General Convention of the United States was proposed to be held, and deputies were accordingly appointed by 12 of the states charged with power to revise, alter, and amend the Articles of Confederation. When these deputies met, instead of confining themselves to the powers with which they were entrusted, they pronounced all amendments to the Articles of Confederation wholly impracticable, and, with a spirit of amity and concession truly remarkable,
proceeded to form a government entirely new and totally different in its principles and its organization. Every problem and future catastrophe that befell this country after the ratification of the Constitution can be traced in origin right here to this paragraph. There was no reason to come up with a completely new document, and therefore a new form of government when amending the Articles of Confederation would probably have been just fine at the time. And then, gradually over time, new concepts for better government could have been amended in. But given the federal government has become every evil the anti-federalists warned us about in these papers, it turns out that history proved them to be right. The Constitutional Convention should have stuck to simply amending the Articles of Confederation. The source for the Federalist Papers is federalistpapers.org. The Anti-Federalist Papers are from selfeducatedamerican.com. The Articles of Confederation are from usconstitution.net. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. Their website is srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Please share this report to anyone who needs it. Cool. All right, we're back here. Let's bring Josh back into the conversation. And anybody else wants to call 215-383-3832, then call if you say something, because I'm probably going to call you. If you want to, of course, but I do that. blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Let me also, I forgot to do this. Let's get the my producer's on a break. So I'm doing things. I'm not quite in the habit pattern yet of doing all the things I'm supposed to do. So let me get the live check. You can do that anywhere in the world. I think where is my live chat? Oh, great. It's been one of those days. Where's my live chat? Live chat's not working today? I guess live chat's not working today. Okay, fine.
Okay, Greg. I'm right here. I got you.
Call us. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it.
I can't save you. I promise I can't save you, but I can give you a life raft. Give you some floaties.
There you go. Exactly. All right. Well, let me get this up here. The live chat is working. I was mistaken. And if you have more, you just need to log in and get yourself. And then away you go. It seems to be having a little trouble. Of course, we've got a storm over us now. No, I'm not going to run around and watch it in the nude as much as Josh would, you know, think it's hysterical. So let me see here. What's fine? I know, live radio, right? Why am I doing this? Live checking. So feel free to join us there. Usually people that disagree with me will type in stuff. People that agree usually call in. It's kind of funny how that works. Let's have a little bit of fun. Before Shelby gets here, and of course, Shelby is cruising and travel, so we like to lighten things up a little bit on Tuesdays, otherwise we go completely crazy. Marcia, hey, Mondays are kind of our national security day. Things get pretty new. Back from my WEBY days with Herb London of the London Center for Policy Research. Brilliant man. Third most effective lobbying group in Washington policy. I've forgotten who. And no one ever heard of them. I hadn't heard of them. I just went up, you know, outside CPAC in 2018 from. Yeah, I get that all the time. It was really funny. All right, let's check. I've got this website called FactBase. So I like to do the daily, Brandon's daily schedule. And so it says Joe Biden, here's the day in the life of Brandon. Brandon has today scheduled the president and vice president received the president's daily brief. So he gets his brief at 10:15. So he doesn't even start his day until 10:15. Around the gardens, you know, I can see like Chauncey. You ever see the film Being There? You know, remember Chauncey Gardner, who was actually a gardener? I'm testing Mary.
Yeah,
young.
No.
You may not know this one.
Yes, sir. I do remember.
Okay.
That.
Anyway, Peter Sellers plays a gardener. He spent his whole life in this garden. And the owner of the house dies, and he has to go out and leave. And because everybody thinks he's a philosopher. you know, this great businessman, and he just doesn't know anything about anything. He's a total, you know, a very, very simple man, very simple ideas, but it's just a great film. Anyway, so I can just see, you know, Brandon walking around the garden going, oh, the roses look nice today or something like that. Well, maybe it's a little cold out there now. So he has nothing to do. He's briefing. The thing scheduled for Brandon all day. The press briefing is at 12:15, and that's it. Day in the life of Brandon. Nothing's happening. All right. I have I keep forgetting to do the great sinking chair here, so the microphone's up near my nose.
Hey Greg.
The chair a bit. Hang on.
Yeah, hey, you're breaking up pretty bad. I don't know if you want to mute out and come back in.
Does it sound now? Is it better now?
Well, there's your angelic. Yeah, no, we just needed to hear that angelic voice.
Well, thank you. No, the problem was I keep forgetting to fix my chair after the show, and so I have this gas cylinder that's giving out every while to like stink, and the microphone's up near my nose somewhere. And so I want to add a new feature for everything, but I think it's necessary to do this. I've been wondering how many of the recent crime wave are illegal aliens, because the media is going to black it out. They're not going to report it. I don't even know. I think Fox is going to be part of that too. So the only place you hear is Newsmax or One American News, but I don't even know if they know if they're looking into this. So I found a website called United States Illegal Alien Crime Report, and they're asking for donations to keep this thing going. But they've got actual, you know, criminal records here. So the first one I want to report, North Carolina sheriff, all right, there were some of the illegal charged with sex crimes 23 hours after arrest. And that's Manuel Martinez Chavez, age 30, date of arrest January 20th, location Mecklenburg County, counts as a sexual offense. Pressured illegal alien charged with raping released on bond in North Carolina, fled the area. That's Uriel Andre Cruz, age 35, date of arrest 119, so January 19th, location Rowan County. Four counts of statutory rape of a child. Another illegal alien charged with child rape, Carolina again. Andre Fernando Mendez, location Catawba County, charged with two counts of indecent liberties. I'm not quite sure what that is. Media blackout on this one. Illegal alien charged with grisly murder and severe beating of a four-year-old girl. Kansas City police arrested Jose Escalante, 28. The bottom of Mackenzie Hopkins, and they have more details on the story. I have to read the story to find out. Yeah.
Do you want to hand them all the information they could ever get? Watchdog.usa or something. Watchdogfamily.usa. You can find out where all the pedophiles live in your city. Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, no,
well,
I used to work
though.
With this lady.
This is just the illegal crime report. Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
No, but hey, you give people ammunition. Eventually, something's going to pop off.
How is that giving people ammunition? How is that giving people ammunition?
Knowing,
what I'm trying to do is show that there's a lot of crimes. What?
No, well, knowledge is power. How about that?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. So the purpose of doing the illegal alien crime report, which I'm going to try to make a regular feature, I'll probably get it better organized, maybe select one story or something, one or two stories, is that I believe a lot of it is by the over people that are starting to bring up. And it's not being reported. And it should be. The fact that these folks, you know, we need to keep statistics on how many of these problems are illegal alien. That were basically self-inflicted, that didn't have to happen if they weren't going to travel.
Yeah, man. Come with Shelby to faraway places, wonderful beaches, exotic foods, meet new and fascinating people as Action Radio cruise and travel reporter Shelby Finette takes you to where dreams become your reality and experiences become your best memories. Yeah, man. Here we go.
So, Shelby, I've got Josh on the line, too, from Illinois. Josh, I muted everyone crying noise there, so bringing you back on the show. Shelby, how you doing? What's going on?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Greg. Hey, I just want to let you know, on my end, you are breaking up quite a bit. I could hear Jeff, but I couldn't hear you. We went in and out quite a bit. I don't know if the
Greg sounds like a dysfunctional robot. Yeah, I know. I was trying to tell him earlier.
I appreciate it,
yeah,
too. I need to know when it's not working.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, wow.
Maybe,
okay, yeah, I hate when that happens.
I
don't know whether it's...
Log on, log off or something? I'm not sure. But I can hear...
No,
I can't
do that. I lose the show. A lot of times it's...
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, then I'll do most of the talking.
Now?
Can you hear me?
I'm right.
Yes, ma'am.
You are coming in loud and clear.
Okay, well, you are too. So I guess
you can't hear me at all?
I can hear you, Greg, but about every couple seconds, it really cuts out for quite a long time.
Greg, it would actually be beneficial if you called back in. I'm just saying that you're phasing out like every 3 to 10. In a sentence, your three words come in, and then seven don't, and then three come back in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But he can't. He said he'll lose the show. So, anyway, would you like me to continue, Greg?
Yeah. Please do.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me. Jeff, tell me. I am the news and travel reporter for Cruise and Travel. Tell me your situation here. Generally, we don't. You know, I haven't met you before, so just kind of give me a little insight. Fill me in.
Are you talking to me or talking to Greg?
Jeff, I'm talking to you.
I'm Josh.
Well, I'm down.
I've
canceled a bunch of windows.
Got it.
Can you hear me? Or no? Back?
No, Greg, buddy, we can't hear you.
Yeah.
All right.
So go ahead.
Right,
I'm sorry. He said Josh, but I thought it was going to be Jeff, so I apologize. I was trying to get that straight. Anyway,
I know.
Fill me in on what you've been talking about, and then I can start.
We actually went a little bit crazy talking about World War II and kind of the adaptation of the European continent and how different countries are formed.
Mm-hmm.
We went into that pretty deep, and that was
very
fun.
Great. Well, I'm glad to hear it. So do you have any questions about cruise travel or what's going on with new variants?
Where do you start and where do you actually travel to?
So we own a travel company that we specialize in groups of solos, groups of singles. We go all over the place. However, naturally, over the last couple of years, we've been at a real standstill. It's been pretty detrimental. Right now we are cruising again out of Florida, and we have some resort stays. We try to have some things for the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, so you can try to accommodate we have a pretty vast network of different feelings of different people, so we try to respect all of it. We know it's such a sensitive time. But we're going out February Valentine's Day. We're doing a crazy, wild trip, and it's all on travelfund.biz. You can check it out. But we are going out in February. I would say for travel and news report, which big news as far as cruising goes is, over 11 million people have sailed, and I think they've had tested 1,100 people with COVID, not all sick, just tested positive. So that's something I think a lot of people don't realize. And as we always tell people, that there's really nothing more we could do for a cruise. I mean, they are doing everything that the CDC asked for and then some. So it's kind of interesting that they still kind of come hard down on cruise and travel. I was going to discuss with Greg today. I was excited to talk about something a little related, but not
I'm
exactly.
Back. I'm on the phone right now. So
good. He's back. That's so good.
Back up. Figured out.
Well, no, this
going...
is what I did. And when the microphone dies, in fact, they said, I got a note from Blog Talk, there's a problem with your connection. Do you want to end the episode? I'm like, hell no. So immediately, cause this is what I do. I'll call in the cell phone. So I'm actually a caller to my own show. But, yeah, I'm here.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Yeah, I'll have to listen to see what happened. But this is
welcome
maybe
to the show.
We had a storm. So maybe that shorted my signal or interfered with our thing. I don't know. Who knows what happened. Anyway, yeah. But I'm back.
So I was going
to – what are you going to talk
to me about? I want to discuss two things that aren't necessarily travel related. but do have to do a travel, is we have, I'm a Canadian citizen as well, right? I'm a dual citizen.
Right.
And they had a huge convoy, a truck convoy, that went into Canada to try and protest the mandates for truckers, which intrigues a lot of people. Didn't get a lot of news attention, which is also very confusing. But they had hundreds of thousands of truckers.
Normal.
I know.
That's normal. There's a blackout on all approaches. The March for Life got blacked out. The Defeat the Mandates protest in Sunday, got news blacked out. It was only reported by the conservative stations. It would be strange if they reported the truckers in Canada because it goes against the artists.
That was both sides of the border. There were Americans and Canadians on both sides of the border blocking that because there's no way to get your long haul. If you've been driving for 12 hours, you don't want to get to the border and know that you only have 2 hours to go. And then, you have to stop over here for 10 hours and deal with some kind of vaccine nonsense. I'm just saying. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. Don't be sorry. That's why you're here. Anyway, Shelby.
It's just so sad to me to see that the news is not covering something important like that. And it's just the whole thing is really shocking that, you know, this kind of information isn't coming out so obviously. They've also reduced the mandates for schools in New York for masks. I don't know if many people know about that. And Europe just decided to have an article that was promoted on some of the more conservative stations that they basically said, deal with it. It's kind of like the flu, just deal with it, which was interesting.
Did you see what they're doing in Brussels?
I did not.
They had a bunch of Europeans from Germany, France, all over the place. It was actually a pretty big conflict. They ended up hosing them down. This happened like yesterday.
Oh, isn't that nice? Water cannons, just like segregation. Hey, it's all coming back.
Hey, it doesn't matter. Their skin color's not different. It's not a problem.
Oh, no, this is medical segregation. Segregation is segregation. You can be by skin color.
Yeah,
you can
exactly.
By vaccination
religion?
That they want to talk. It can be by anything.
It's absolutely becoming a huge segregation. So one of the worst things, in my opinion, that I found out about this morning is just yesterday, the FDA, out of nowhere, just decided to shut down all the monoclonal antibody clinics that our governor had set up here in Florida. And I know personally at least a dozen people that have had COVID and they are like, they swear by it. They're like, they got the treatment and they were like, wow, I'm better. Some vaxxed, some not vaxxed, whatever. I'm so upset to hear that the FDA did this because it's just another thing that they're taking away is opportunities for people. And their answer is that it's not effective in the Omicron variant, which that's not proven because at the end of the day, we don't even test people for the Omicron variant. I don't know if people realize we don't have a test for the Omicron or the Delta variant. But regardless, they just shut them all down immediately. And not that they were doing any harm.
Let me ask you about this because this goes to my general theory. If you look at what's happening, they've shut down. I don't know why. I ask you. The big question is why. But you'll notice they shut down all the cures. They banned hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin because that's how they got the vaccines to go under the emergency use authorization, which is only available if there are no current cures or treatments available.
Right.
Well, the fact that these were available, we know that we've talked about this before, how they banned these cures that they're low cost, that are generic, and that work in order to, you may disagree with any part of this, but anyway, but the point is that from my perspective, they banned the cures. They banned the treatments, prevention, the things, the immune boosters. They say, don't take vitamin D, 3, C, zinc, it's not going to help you, all right? What they're pushing is vaccines. All roads lead to vaccines. I've said it. Dr. McCullough said it. A lot of folks have said this. All roads lead to vaccines. So that's the only thing they're pushing right now. This is the only way out of this, pandemic. It's the way to perpetuate it, as we're seeing. But you look at anything, monoclonal antibodies, any of the treatments that any of the many doctors, the hundreds of doctors that are going against the CDC recommendations, which are killing people. This was shown in the hearing yesterday. But monoclonal antibodies work. And whatever you want to do with your doctor that works, that's a reasonable treatment, you should be able to do. That's why that's the whole basis of the practice of medicine, is you work with your doctor and you come up with a treatment plan, you know, informed consent, and then you go for it.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it's supposed to work. But why would they ban the cure? Why would they ban the cure? What do you think's fine?
I hate the word the cure because I feel like that is the wrong terminology to use, because it really it's just so easily
treatment.
Debatable. So please, the treatment,
yeah.
Yes, I would like to say that.
Preventative measure.
Yes,
well, no,
okay, that's fine.
Monoclonals are
treatment. I'll take that.
You don't take monoclonals unless you have symptoms, right?
It is infuriating to me that
right.
there are several thousands and thousands of doctors that are showcasing that there are other cheaper alternatives that very, very likely, and they always say it's not studied. Well, then study it, but they won't study it because exactly what you said, that it's mm-hmm. not okay to use for emergency use if there's something else that really works. And all of these
yep.
treatments that are being held down are things that doctors have risked their lives for, risked their practices, that are getting, you know, deplatformed for, and also they're losing their licenses, and it's infuriating, and it's upsetting, and it's scary, and it's really something that I feel is something that we can all talk about without division, because everybody mm-hmm. has the same feeling that they want people that they love and themselves to be okay after getting COVID and not get sick and not die and not have long-term effects. And so if thousands of doctors are willing to risk themselves, because if they say anything different than what the FDA has told them to say, which is just get the vaccine, don't do anything else, then
right.
they are being ostracized and persecuted. And this is a huge concern, and it's so sad. I agree that the only thing that makes sense is that if people understand that things like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and these monoclonal antibody treatment clinics, if people are saying, this has helped me and it has not hurt me, then it doesn't make any sense, except for if there was a conspiracy of some sort on the government side to make sure that they're going to hold everything down to make sure that they're pushing just one treatment and that it isn't, that it's available, because you have to have the emergency use treatment. You can't have anything else unless for it to be okay to use the emergency use treatment. So if these things are shown, such as ivermectin mm-hmm. and hydroxychloroquine and the monoclonal, if these things are shown to help and not to hurt, mm-hmm. there should be no reason for them to be stopped.
So why
and
would they do
really,
it? Let's get the nasty question. Why
well,
would
I mean,
they
and that's
FDA
that's where you start to get
this.
Into side. So my mentality, Greg, has always been, I don't want to preach to the choir. All right. Like, if you're already in belief and you're already eyes wide open, then I don't need to talk to you about much, do I? But what I would like to do is hopefully mm-hmm. help more people understand, like myself, that kind of feel duped,
right.
that these types of practices don't make sense. And they also, you can be upset that these types of practices may have helped your loved ones survive and that they weren't implemented. That's very upsetting to me. And I think that's upsetting to the masses, no matter what side of the aisle they are on, no matter what they've believed in thus far. It's important to understand that this is a horrible, horrible treatment that FDA is doing to the people by stopping these monoclonal places from being able to be open, all because they're so grasping at straws at reasons of why, because you always have to have that naysayer that says, well, this is why. And the reason why is because it's not effective against Omicron, which is really, for anybody that's not even putting any time into research, everybody knows that Omicron is just a flighting variant, that there's already others on the way, and that it doesn't really, they might not know this. I'm sure most people don't realize they don't test Cron variant. They don't test for mm-hmm. Delta variant. They say people are coming down with this, but every single person I have asked has been hospitalized has gone. When they ask a nurse, do you have a test for this variant? They laugh at them and say, we don't have a test for that. Which is so interesting, because I think most of us would believe they know that it must be the variant because they've tested, but they do not know that. So
exactly.
Very likely people could have a different variant, and then this monoclonal treatment could help. And why would you stop something that's not hurting anyone? It's very concerning. It's upsetting.
Well, that's the
really
question. And here's, well, here's my contention today. The title of the show, and we'll get to the Fauci Hillary question in the third hour, but this is back to our mandated national health care. You look at everything that's going on. The government is absolutely clamping down and regulating everything to do with COVID. They're deciding what you can take. They decide who gets reimbursed. They decide who gets to visit, your loved ones in the hospital. They decide on everything through the Center for Medicaid Systems reimbursement. They decide, the whole thing. They decide you will get vaccines. They decide that you won't get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Now, doctors are going around that. I mean, it's not a perfect system yet, but I really think that they decide which businesses can stay open. They decide who wears masks. This is total, complete, top-down, dictatorial government national health care through the back door. It wasn't elected. It wasn't done through legislation. It wasn't done through anything else. But you look at everything that's going on. They seem to have all the worst characteristics of the national health care system. Ration care. People are dying. They're waiting for treatment. They're not getting the treatment that they want. You know, just like Canadians have to race to, American hospitals to get treatments that National Health Care Canada either won't authorize or won't authorize for 2 years. You know, it's the same kind of thing. It's ration health care. It's death panels. You know, the death panel is Dr. Fascist, who says you won't get this treatment. You won't get monoclonal antibodies. And why is it being blocked in Florida? And why is it being blocked in Texas? Because we're defying the federal government's national health care mandates. This is back to our national health care. And I'd be really curious what you think about that.
I'm very, very saddened by it. I can't disagree with most of what you're saying. I find it to be just from the beginning, I said, well played, well played. I mean, I just, the way that this is, I'm seeing sentiment change on social media, I must tell you. I think more people are starting to feel that they were not, that they didn't tell us everything they should have. That sentiment is changing. However, it's the censorship, even when I go to share something, and I really don't and can't, because this is my social media is my business. And
right.
And this is how they get us, too, because we all have to protect our families and ourselves at some degree. It's on social media, if I post anything about these types of revelations, it gets so few views, and I have a huge-ass network, and it's being, it's also getting glitchy and saying it's being deleted, and so they're putting – they're doing something on the inside from to my posts that at least it appears that way, to make sure that they're not being seen. And it's just so sad, and it's so concerning. And it's just, I don't know. I always say this too, until it gets so bad, there is not going to be any uprising until things are so horrible. And it's like watching, it's like knowing that a train wreck is going to happen and you can't stop it. That's seriously how I feel. I feel like knowing the way humans,
people have died, most of them for no reason. How much worse
does
it need to get?
So that angers me to no end, and it should anger everyone. But they've got it all locked down really well. I mean, they have a very it's a very fine line. It's really almost impossible to get the other side of the story. And as everybody knows, it's if there's just one side of the story, how would you ever – there's no balance of power there. That's why you need two sides, because if there's only one side, then no matter what, it always becomes something for greed for someone at the top. It's always self-serving. If you don't have a balance of power, it just doesn't
money
work.
Money and power. Yeah. I want to change the subject a little bit here because we have limited time. We'll finish this point, and then I got a question for you.
Well, I'm just very saddened by this monoclonal, and it's just again orchestrated. It's an example of an orchestrated attack against anything that works, and it does save lives and it helps people. And I know people that have felt so like they were. Spontaneously came back to life. They're like, wow, I can't believe that really worked so well. And that it's so sad. It's so sad, and it's so frustrating, because it is not in our hands. And until things are so bad that people are directly hurt, by these implementations that the FDA has made people take and do, they're not going to rise up. So it's just like the frog in boiling water. You start warm, and there's nothing you can do. It ends up boiling.
Well, there is, though, but there's not enough wolves. There's too many sheep. You know, you've got the doctors, the 500 doctors that are prescribing, like Dr. Ben Marble, who's a friend of mine in the Pensacola area of Florida. You know, he was at the hearing yesterday with Senator Johnson. He has freedoctor.com or freemd.com. I forgot which one it is. I think it's freedoctor.com. Has treated hundreds of thousands of people through telemedicine, been able to get them ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, you know, the McCullough protocol, the Zelenko protocol. So he's been able to cure just tons of people. So there are ways to do it, but you have to be brave enough to do it. So in other words, we've got medicine by the brave and medicine by the sheep. And the sheep are the ones that are, they don't want to lose their license, and they don't want to go against the hospital, and they don't want to go against policy. They don't want to give up the $100,000 per patient, you know, whether they live or die, and most of them are dying. They don't, you know, so it's like the businesses. A few businesses stayed open during the lockdown, but not enough. So they were able to be made examples of. So the resistance is very weak at this point. You've got the courageous doing it, but not enough of the others. But I want to get on to travel a bit, because something happening in Europe with the airlines, with the European Union. And, you know, as much as I love cruises, you know, if you're going to get there, a lot of times you're going to fly. And climate change. I don't know if you've looked into this at all, but the European airlines are rebelling against some of the newer climate change regulations coming out of the European Union. And have you looked into this, studied this, heard about this? And I don't know the details myself. I just heard about it on One American News this morning, so I just thought I'd ask you. You know what's going on there?
I'll have to look into it. I know, like I said, the European right now, they have removed all the mandates for masks and vaccines via Boris. And, you know,
that's also good.
Oh, yeah, that happened like last week. That was exciting. But in the same breath, you know, I don't know. I don't know much about Boris Johnson in the UK. However, he seems like quite a character. But the sentiment there, I don't think, is quite the same as you would expect it to be, like just happy that he's done that. But most people have kind of come out to say, actually, I'm not even going to say what the opposition is, because I don't want to give it any life. But I am. I would just tell you that they have lifted the mask mandates and the vaccine mandates in the UK. So I suspect that that has something to do with the travel that you're speaking of, and it's the last
little
beacon.
Yeah, is the rest of Europe open, or is it still under EU control or COVID mask and vaccine mandate passport? I know Austria, but are there any other European countries that have opened up other than Sweden, which always was open, or is it just England and Sweden right now?
Not that I know of, and it's definitely a mixed bag. I'm hoping it, you know, France just had huge protests, but again, it's a little bit hard to expect any protests to be that effective, considering 91% of them have gotten vaccinated. And I guess very probably much like me, it's like we just feel like we don't want to keep going down this road, even though we were coerced or went along with it in the beginning or whatever. So maybe there's more than 10%, but it's still a little hard to believe that with those numbers that they're going to be able to make an impact. You know, they do have a cute, I shouldn't call it cute. They have one kid that's leading for adolescents. They're leading kind of this anti, they're not talking about the vaccine injuries or anything, even though they could. What they're just saying is it's just the rights that have been taken away, that if you don't have your vaccine card, you can't go to public spaces, you can't have coffee, you can't go to school, you can't work. So, you know, there's a few of them that have the resources. And again, I mean, bravery is one thing. For sure, you could all stay in comfort, but I know a lot of people just need to live. Like, we don't have all this cushion, you know, and some of these kids, I think, have a little bit more flexibility because they're with their parents or whatnot. But it's so freaking sad. Like, it's really sad. I don't know. I feel horrible about it. I hate watching it. I feel like I'm watching literally. I know a train wreck's going to happen and I can't stop it. And no one's going to do anything until the train wreck happens, you know, until people start.
I'm optimistic in that Americans have reached their vaccine.
I know you are.
Well, I'm always optimistic, but you know, think about. Well, I want to get Josh in the conversation too. How many vaccines do you think Americans will tolerate? I think the booster is it. I don't think. I mean, Israel has a second booster. I think the limit is kids.
No, Israel's on the fourth. They're on their fourth shot. So, you're right. So it's
right.
Two shots and two boosters. Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I think one booster, I think people have had enough in this country. I think they just don't believe in it. They don't want any more. I think you're reaching that point that you're talking about. If they try and push a second booster, I don't think that's going to happen. And with the kids, I'm hoping that millions of parents resist having the kids, you know, be shot up with this stuff because there's no reason for it. Kids have a statistically zero, you know, death rate from COVID, you know, under 18. I mean, it's so low. It's not even a significant number. I mean, obviously it is if that's your kid. I mean, I'm trying to, you know, do that. But what I'm saying is it's so low compared to other age groups, like over 65, that it's not a problem, you know. And so, but the problem, the risk to the health of kids is far greater from the COVID jab than it is from COVID. Far greater. So I think that's going to be another resistance point. I think we're kind of coming to it, and that's just my guess. I mean, you know, for the folks you're talking to, Shelby, what do you think? And then, well, it's Josh's opinion from where he is. He's up in the mind.
I think they're all going to need to know someone that's actually been and will vocalize that they've been hurt or like had an injury from a shot or something like that. That's okay. What it's going to take for people to stop. I feel like it's all going to be because everything is being censored. Really, it's going to take a personal experience for most people.
Yeah, that makes sense. Josh, what do you think? Do you think we're reaching the point of resistance or no?
I'm sorry. What was that?
Do you think we're reaching the point of resistance or no?
Absolutely. Every single time. No. Throughout history. Every single time. No, I think that people fail to realize when you tell a mass, like we have nations here, that's what they're dealing with. You tell an entire nation, a mass population of people, not to do something, they're going to do it. That's human nature. That's what we do.
We're
you don't tell
by
people
nature,
not to do something. Yeah, I know, but we're so defined by nature.
Something. Yeah. But just, yeah, no.
Well, that's a good point. People hate being told what to do. That's for sure. I agree with that. I hope you're right. I guess that, you know, I'm not really the most optimistic person about really anything. I know that's very counterintuitive to my personality.
But, but now here's what's actually going to happen.
Okay.
Hold on. I got my prophecy here. Somebody itches down in a stone and put it on a hill. This is about to be deaded. This entire thing, because it's no longer profitable for the people that are profiting off of it, because it's pissed off most of America. It's ruined a bunch of childhoods. There's no way this is going to continue.
Okay. That's what it'll do. The profit comes out of it.
Am I wrong?
I you're absolutely right. I don't know if the profit's out of it yet. That's the problem.
I heard Bill Gates got on board and said, you know, I think what's going to happen is we're going to do a yearly shot for everyone. That's going to be best. So generally he prophesizes pretty well.
Well, no, he prophetizes. There's a difference between prophesizing and
prophetizing. Isn't it one of the same? I don't know. Much about Bill Gates. I know it must be tough to be hit in history some days. But it was so nice to chat with you.
Oh, do you have to go?
Josh, it really was. I've got to run, but I appreciate you guys, and I'm hoping for the best with you and keep on doing what you do. And thank you so much for having me. Have a great one. I'm Shelby. You're fabulous.
Thanks, Shelby. Every week, you know, I love having you on, so that's why we do it. Yeah, sorry for the technical difficulties earlier everybody's experiencing. I'm on the phone today, so something happened with the mic. I think we had a storm overhead, so I think that's when things seemed to short out here. And I got a notice from Blog Talk that you got a problem with your signal. Do you want to call back in and start a new show? No. Anyway, let's bring on Josie.
She started off as a poor child in Nicaragua, living under communism. And now she is a prosperous small businesswoman with a great family, living the dream as an American citizen. Josie Coffey knows all about both worlds, communism and freedom. She knows where your dreams can come alive and where they can die very quickly. And so her report is as much from experience as knowledge, and her passion and crusade are very real. With connections all over Central and South America, Josie brings you the world south of the U.S. border, from personal experience, living, not just reporting, what's happening. And now, the Latina Report with Josie Coffey.
Good morning.
Hey, Josie. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
How are you? Yeah, I heard your mic went off.
Yeah, it was breaking up a little bit. Hopefully most of the first hour got on, because that was just me, and then Josh came on. Josh, did you have any problems before you came on? Or no?
No. Before I mentioned anything, no, you sounded like an angel.
Well, thank you very much. He's so complimentary. So we got, yeah, I'm going to put my name on the board here so I don't erase myself. Right? Who's that caller? So I'm there. So what's, I don't know if you heard any, I know you heard some of what, I was talking about with Shelby here, but my contention is, and I'm sure you're going to agree with this, that the everything that's going on now, all these controls and all these things that are being brought in, the mandates and everything else, the control of money from CMS, this is national health care.
Yeah.
This is mandated national health care through the back door. So I'm just curious what you think about that, and then let me know what's on your mind.
Well, I was listening to that video that you sent me about Senator, what's his name?
Johnson.
About the vaccine that he's he's bringing all the doctors in.
Uh-huh.
Ron, Senator Ron. Very, very good. They should have done that a long time ago, and they're wasting time because more people are dying from remdesivir and the ventilators, you know? So it's very sad. I was talking to a doctor actually yesterday. They came to my store. He's from El Salvador. He's going to be working here at one of the local hospitals, barely speaks English.
Uh-huh.
He was sharing with me that El Salvador is very rich. He says the properties are like more expensive than America. And I'm like, what? I just can't believe that. So he's sharing all these things that how good El Salvador is. And I said, so how come they're running to come over here? He said, those are people that don't know how to read, write. People that are very poor and the government wants to get rid of to embrace more people from other countries to come in. And he says there's Fifth Avenue shops, McDonald's everywhere, Burger King everywhere. He says it's a prosperous country and the president is making it so good for people. So the rich people are not leaving. So it's very sad.
Now that is absolutely fascinating. Remember we talked about the El Salvadorian president. We talked about him before being a new kind of leader, being really pro El Salvador. He loves his country.
Yeah.
He's basically El Salvadorian Trump. He believes in putting his country first. And so the fact that he's letting his welfare people come to our country is actually good business. our welfare have nowhere else to go because they have a better deal here than anywhere else.
Yeah.
But in terms of what he's doing, and we had, and Josh, I'll let you know this. Josie and I talked about this several months ago, that Trump should go to El Salvador, talk to the new president, bring in a bunch of investors and companies and factories and the businesses and goods and services. And give them a chance. Give that country a chance to really be a model for freedom, free markets, and they might even want to write a constitution and put some individual rights together, and not copy the United States, but be El Salvador, but be a free and free market El Salvador. And I think that country is going to be a model for all of Central America and South America. It's going to be a model for the world if they do it right. Anyway, that's my idea.
Actually, he was also telling me that. He's given so much incentive, like you just said, like Trump, and helping a lot of people. But the people that want to come here, they just want to come here because they're getting paid, and they're telling them they're going to give them everything for free. Those are the lazy ones that they want to come here.
Right.
I asked, what about the MS-13 gangs? Because, they come to your business, and they said, if you don't pay me such an amount of money every week, we're going to cut your head off. So he was telling me.
Yeah, that's the old protection racket. The mafia did that for decades. That's an old crime syndicate.
They're still doing it here, actually.
Yep.
So he was telling me that this president has even that under control. I said, wow. I was very impressed. Yeah, he says only in the very, very ghetto neighborhood you're going to see some of the MS-13 murdering and raping young girls and all that. But he says in the rich area, they do not come because they're well protected by the president. He
said
he's not playing around.
Police. Yeah, so the police are serious there, right? El Salvador,
the police is serious. That's
okay.
What he was telling me, yeah. He said that the president is doing a good job, that a lot of people are coming to buy property. That's why a lot of the property, they're skyrocketing prices. And he wanted to go retire in a different area there, and he says he cannot even buy a house because it's so, like $800,000. Like, it's insane.
Huh.
You don't see prices like that in Central America, you know.
No.
But it is out of control.
How about tourism? You know, we should talk to Shelley about that. Maybe we should do an Action Radio show from El Salvador for a week. Maybe after we hop from Belize, maybe we can hop from Belize to El Salvador and just keep going, just keep our world tour going. We'll never come back.
Yeah.
We'll just keep finding new countries to broadcast from. No, but that would be fascinating. Does El Salvador have a tourist bureau that maybe we can talk to and see what kind of thing that might put
Probably.
Together?
A combination that we could get.
What's that, Josh?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was talking about accommodations. Never mind. Sorry. I thought I was muted.
No, you're free to make comments. That's why I've left you on the air here. Yeah. But I never thought of El Salvador as a tourist destination because we think of, the poor Central American countries will have this image of what they're like. But if they're, we should help promote that as much as our show can do. But like I say, especially, as we grow here, it'd be nice to be able to have contacts in these different countries, especially calling in ours, which is always working too. So there's all kinds of possibilities there as well. Yeah. Huh.
You would do better in Nicaragua and Belize.
Mm-hmm. And I was telling him that we have a guest on our radio show from Belize. And he said, hey, ask the guy from Belize. He goes, about properties there. They are out of control also in Belize, he says. The properties are like never before in Belize, El Salvador, and he didn't say about the other country like Honduras and Guatemala because they're still so corrupt right now. But it sounds like El Salvador is going in the good direction that it should be, and we need to deport all their people back. That's my passion. They need to go back.
Well, no,
I don't want to be working for them so they can come and get everything for free here. It's not right for a U.S. citizen like me or you that we spend money and time waiting to become a U.S. citizen, and that's not right what the Biden criminals are doing, including with the military helping them. So all these people need to be arrested together with the migrants, the illegals coming in.
Well, this
That's
is why
what
I think
see.
That forfeiture is such a good idea. If you take their stuff, you take the reason they came here, which is free stuff, and you take their stuff away, there's no reason to be here. And so that's part of my plan because, the idea that we're going to go around rounding up people, which we legally can certainly do, but this is, I think, is a better way just to make, have them self-deport. You want to make it impossible for them to live here rather than to try and chase people down. But the thing is, if these countries are improving, like El Salvador seems to be, then this is a huge development. And so, it sort of defeats the argument that, well, we have to take these people, they're here for a better life. Well, they get a pretty good life there if they just work for it. But they'd rather have a free life here living off Americans than they would working for a good life in El Salvador, where they should be. If that's their country.
Can I throw a log in that fire? Yeah. You remember that time story where there was that young, beautiful mother and her daughter was crying on the front of the Times? And everybody was like, oh, my God, we're mistreating these people at the border. Remember that, anybody?
No,
yeah.
It sounds like it was staged.
That picture with Trump.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I know it was staged, obviously. But they went back to Costa Rica, and they ended up finding her husband. And her husband was actually the captain of a ship who was out there. He was actually making money. He was actually one of the wealthier people in Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I don't even know why she went to America.
She
paid $10,000.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who the hell can pay $10,000? I'm just saying. I mean,
well, that's another question.
Greg, can you pay $10,000 to do a nonsensical thing?
No,
yeah.
I can't pay $10,000 to do something that makes sense.
Yeah, I know.
No, we're still, my corporate empire hasn't been built big enough yet. Give me a million listeners. I'll have $10,000.
Well,
so
no,
I just,
you should just, right now, just start doing arm circles, my friend.
Yeah.
All right.
What now?
I know.
That's too funny. That's funny.
Just messing with you, buddy. Ma'am, where are you, what part of Central America are you from?
I was born in Nicaragua. But I
Nicaragua?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. No, one of my best friend's mothers was from Nicaragua. I appreciate that so much, ma'am. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that.
But I've been in America for 50 years, and this is my country now, that place where I was born. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I love America, and I tell American people, I'm willing to give my right arm for this country. And some American college kids go, oh, my God. You would go that far. I said, why not? It's my country. I need to defend and protect my country.
We're gonna need a lot of right arms to slap people who are being ridiculous in Europe and Asia.
Because, you know, when you become a U.S. citizen, you have to raise your hand and you have to say that you are here to defend and protect this country, you know, to the point of death.
Yeah,
literally.
You have to swear to God that this is your country, yes, and you have to denounce your other countries.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
And the college teachers and high school teachers training our children to hate America, that this is no good. And I'm sick and tired of that. I just had a young girl that came and got uniforms. I know the grandmother. And she's the only Republican girl in the class, young girl. College and the teacher did not allow for her to put her report because it was too conservative. And I'm like,
what
taking her rights away.
Hold on.
No.
What did Jesus tell everybody? He said that you were going to be spat on and treated like crap, right?
Oh yeah.
I'm just saying. This isn't a national thing. This is a Christian thing. He said that you're going to be treated like crap. It doesn't matter
where
you go. You're going to be treated terribly. People are going to insult you. They're going to hurt your feelings.
In most
cases, they're probably going to kill you, and that's what they're doing all over the world. They don't like Christians.
Yeah. Yeah, they're attacking Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm saying, God bless you. We are here right now.
Thank God.
Live long. Live long.
Thank God.
Enjoy your life.
Because we have a Second Amendment right. And that's why we haven't fallen yet, because
I know that you already lost your guns in an unfortunate boating accident.
What are you talking about?
But what guns did you have before you lost your guns? Do what?
Josh, I think you're off on a tangent. You're doing really well there for a minute. Let me jump in here for a second, because the whole Second Amendment thing reminds me of what's going on with healthcare. This is something I wanted to bring up with Shelley, but she had to leave. If you look at the way that the mandates from government are coming down, they're very much like gun control. You know, Shelby was saying that the monoclonal antibodies have been denied in Florida. I'm not sure about that. I haven't heard that on the news. I'm sure, Jesse, you can confirm that. But if they're doing that, they're taking, you know, monoclonals from Texas, from Florida, all the states that are resisting the tyranny coming out of the big health, big government health. And so you look at it, you know, it's the same as gun control. You can't have this gun. You can't have this ammunition. You can't buy this. You can't carry this. Now they're saying you can't have monoclonals. You can't have ivermectin. You can't have hydroxychloroquine. You have to take the vaccine. You have to do this. You have to do that. There's not much difference between gun control enforced by the state and health control enforced by the CDC, NIH, FDA, Brandon.
But
I don't believe that at all.
Hold on, I don't want to be taking
monoclonal. No way. No, that's not. I don't trust that either. And I think they're doing that so people can try to get it. See, these people are snakes. Dr. Judy Mikovich, because I asked her, what about the monoclonal? She says, stay away from it. Remember that?
See,
she was on the radio with us.
I forgot that. Okay.
No, we don't want that. It's part of them, too. No, we don't want that. The best thing
I've never thought a human would be my spirit animal. Yes, ma'am. I believe you.
ivermectin, azithromycin, hydroxychloroquine. That's all you take, and plenty of lime and fresh ginger. That's it.
Yeah, I agree.
And keep spraying, keep spraying your house with Lysol. Lysol kills COVID. Spray it. Spray the house. That's why they took Lysol away from our shelf.
Ma'am. God bless you.
Yes.
You are a
decent
human being. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Josie, I think Josh is going to call every time you're on. I just have this feeling.
I'm not going to say that I'm going out of my way.
Well, Josh, Josh, you guys have too much. I'll just sit back and listen. I'm on the phone anyway. What do I care?
No, I love this lady. I love her so much. Man, please
no
keep
kidding.
Talking.
Thank you. Thank you. I speak the truth. So, you know, I tell a lot of nurses. I had a nurse that came in yesterday full of COVID. She had her mask on. She says,
"Oh no."
She was writing in a piece of paper. She barely wanted to talk. I said, "You think I'm afraid? I got the meds. I got them in my hand. If I get COVID, 5 days later, I was dancing Zumba after my COVID."
She's over there snorting lines of vitamin C. She doesn't even care. I'm sorry, ma'am. Go on.
I told her what to take, hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, vitamin D, vitamin C, and zinc. Boom.
And is that easier?
Yes.
And you're over there
it's
in California,
easy.
Right?
No, I'm here next to Greg. I'm about 8 minutes from Greg.
Yeah, she's down here in Florida.
In Milton.
Okay, you're one of the lucky ones.
No, yes. I was in California.
Okay. We are blessed.
So let me announce. This is a good time to take we've got something I should tell Josie about. She probably knows about it already. But the John Birch folks have a meeting that's coming up. I'm just moving all my screen stuff around here. I wanted to announce this anyway today. This is kind of cool. This is COVID informed consent. Dr. Vic Leone's going to be there. She's the guest speaker. Free event to the public, Medical Freedom Rally, folks. 6 o'clock
yeah.
next, I think it's next Tuesday. It's Tuesday, February 1st. So it's...
Is it at the church?
It's at the Pine Forest Baptist Church.
Yeah, Pine Forest. I got the message last night from a friend.
Yep.
Yeah,
so that's next Thursday. And so I'm going to go. I think Sydney Cagle from the Medical Freedom Report, she's a citizen for Medical Freedom. She's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Chancey's going to be there, who does our Wine, Weed, and Wellness Wednesday. She'll be on tomorrow. She's going to be there.
I'll be there.
And so a bunch of us, you should be there. Yeah, so it's another Action Radio gathering. So the folks that are in the Milton, Pensacola area or anybody that wants to drive to it, this Tuesday, February 1st, the announcement's on my site. You just go to the John Birch Society site. And a lot
but
of folks
you know,
have,
Greg,
you know. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm a little disappointed with Dr. Deborah, the Italian doctor, and Dr. Frugla, whatever his name was, that he's from Gulf Breeze. None of them wanted to help us when we wanted to get Robert from the hospital because they started giving him rendezvous and we wanted to get him out. And they said, oh, there's nothing we can do. There's not, and we didn't know who can help us with the oxygen. You know, that's all the guy needed is the oxygen. And the wife was afraid to take him out because of the oxygen. And at first we got him some breathing things, but I think he freaked out more than anything. And none of these people wanted to help us. And I was very disappointed in tears. Like, I can't believe they're saying no, all of them. And finally this guy was given more remdesivir and then ventilator. They blew up both of his lungs instead of one with the ventilator. And then they buried him 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Wow.
It's very, very sad. Very sad.
Was it,
he didn't have to die because of oxygen. Yeah.
So did they have the ventilators on too strong? Were they just inflating his lungs too heavily?
Yeah, I think they don't know how to use them. Yeah. Whoever put them on, they had them too strong, blew up both of his lungs. They said it was one, but I found out it was two. And,
I can't imagine how painful that would be. When I had open heart surgery and I had my chest filled with fluid, I think because of the blood thinners. And they what they did with me was the smart thing. They drained the fluid out so my body could take care of the little bit that was left. But one of the most painful things I've ever experienced is the reinflation of a lung. It hurts.
Yeah.
So the idea of having a lung, you know, basically be overinflated, has to be excruciating. I mean, I can't imagine, from something, inside. Point, I don't want to, gross everybody out here and just, really fill you with horrors, but these are real medical horrors. You know, one of the nurses at the hearing with Johnson described the hospitals as concentration camps. You know, if anybody hasn't seen these hearings, you need to watch Senator Johnson's. It was 5 hours yesterday. They only planned to go, I think, three originally.
I started watching it, but I had to get on the radio with you. That's why I was a few minutes late. It was so good. I said
yeah,
to everybody
yes,
this morning. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, no problem. You can catch it later. Yeah. One American News, I think, is broadcasting it again tomorrow night, the whole hearing.
Good.
But you could show the video. It's still, I can't believe it's on YouTube. That's the really funny part.
Me too. I was like. But
yeah,
did you notice they started messing up with the mic?
Did you notice that?
They're messing up the mic, making all this noise. And
no, you're sounding solid, brother. I can hear you now.
No. We're talking about
the hearing.
The video.
About the hearing with Senator Johnson.
About the hearing. They were messing up with the mic.
Yeah,
they're
some people
evil.
Get too close. Some people don't know how to use them. Yeah, yeah. If I'm going to try plugging my mic back in, I might lose the show, in which case if I do, I'll just start it. I'll start another episode. We've had that before. But I'd really like to get back on my mic if I can, because I've got some other things to do to do this hour. But,
it was good talking to you.
Yes, nice talking to you. I'm on every Tuesday at 7:30.
Yeah.
So
you're an adorable conversationalist. Let me just tell you that right now. It was great talking to you.
Thank you.
Josh, why don't you send a Valentine, dude?
Do I have to pay you?
It only costs $5 a day.
Oh, okay.
I think for the low price
because I'm such a special person.
Yeah. All right, Josh. We'll talk to you next time, then.
Ow. My feelings.
Oh, do you have to go? Oh, I thought you were leaving. I'm sorry. You can stick around.
No. Ow. My feelings.
We sort of build calls as we go here. That's kind of how it works. All right. Let me play a couple things. I'm going to try an experiment. And if it doesn't work, then I will cancel this episode and start another one. You guys just call back in. Unless, Josie, you have to go. Or Josh, if you have to go too. But I want to try this. And if it doesn't work, we'll know really quickly. And then I'll just restart another episode and we'll call back in. But I'd rather be on mic if I can. So let me just play you a few things.
Try
it. I'll be back. And we'll see if it works.
This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with a personal recommendation and testimonial for Eric Colley, our new webmaster and marketing guru. Eric has been invaluable in upgrading our website, writeyourlaws.com. To help you with your marketing, Eric Colley offers proven, cost-effective strategies to help small businesses, startups, and nonprofits market themselves on Google Page One. You can gain thousands of followers and be far more competitive, and this is the good part, without paid advertising. Most business owners don't have the time or expertise to excel at marketing. Even fewer have the funds to hire a special employee. And you don't have to. There is a better option. Eric Colley, a consultant who uses leading-edge marketing strategies to increase your profitability at costs which are far more affordable than an advertising or marketing agency. You can be seen high up in Google's Page One. You can dominate Google's local three-pack of businesses next to the search results map. You can increase foot and website traffic. Eric Colley can be reached at 208-999-7510. That's 208-999-7510. His website is besmallbusiness.com, BESMALLBUSINESS. And you can reach him by email at eric@besmallbusiness.com. And that's how you do it. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying.
So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Panglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. This is Greg Panglis for Strike Force, your source for pure energy. Strike Force is a concentrated energy drink that turns a half liter of your favorite beverage into an energy drink. It contains caffeine, taurine, B vitamins, and potassium. You make your energy drink yourself. Here's how. Add one pack to a standard half liter water bottle or 16 ounce glass to create a full power energy drink. No sugar, no calories, no stirring, no shaking. Strike Force energy drinks come in original, grape, lemon, and orange. Each flavor pack is a liquid that adds an explosion of flavor to any beverage. Here's the best part. Action Radio is an affiliate of Strike Force, so our listeners get a 20% discount. All you do is add our code, WYL, to the discount code window at checkout. That's WYL. WYL comes from our website, right your laws. So, you can get your energy drink, get a 20% discount, and help Action Radio change the relationship of we the people to our government. Not bad. Strike Force is at StrikeForceEnergy.com. That's StrikeForceEnergy.com. Start your engines. Action Radio, dedicated to fixing everything.
Okay, I'm back. It's just adjusting me. It looks like Josh has left us. And so it's I tried calling back in. I can't. So I'm back on the phone here. And so it's kind of a weird thing. Yeah, they got this call button. I tried it a bunch of times. I plugged my mic in. I tried the call button. Put up a new ad. Tried something else. Push another button. Try that. And nothing happened. Anyway, so let's, and of course, you're welcome to stay as long as you want. Anybody else wants to call? This is a good time to call in, 215-383-3832.
I hope my friend Ann calls.
Oh, yeah, Ann, if Ann wants to join us again, that'd be great. She sent me some stuff I have to take a look at. I've been so swamped. Mm-hmm. There's a couple things going on. One, the Senator Johnson hearing, if anybody missed it, it's one of the most incredible hearings I've ever heard, and it really kind of vindicates everything we've said on the show here for the last 2 years as information came out. And Josie has been right, you've been right in the forefront with me. We knew that chloroquine killed COVID back in March 2020, so there's almost 2 years we learned that. We knew that Dr. Zelenko created a protocol that included the things that we talked about, zithromycin, zinc, vitamin D3, vitamin C, hydroxychloroquine, which is a safer form of chloroquine. And chloroquine's safe anyway. This is a safer form of a safe drug. Then we learned about ivermectin a few months later, so about mid-2020 we knew about ivermectin. And that's when we had the Dr. Zelenko Action Radio Coronavirus Clearinghouse, and we talked all about ivermectin. In fact, I was a little skeptical first because I hadn't heard about it. Then Dr. Z comes on, Dr. Zelenko, and says, yeah, it's good stuff. And the other folks, yeah, this is good stuff. And everybody said, yeah, this is good stuff. And then, of course, Facebook closed down, or they disabled our coronavirus clearinghouse. So, we've seen censorship all along the way. But we knew about this stuff. We knew that the mandates didn't work. We knew that the masks didn't work. We knew that this was that they blocked these drugs so they could get vaccines. We knew the vaccines weren't going to work because they weren't tested. They weren't, there was no process for them. We knew that it was corrupt. We knew that they were invented years before the vaccine. We knew the virus was created. We knew the vaccines came 10 years before. We knew all this stuff. And are we geniuses? No, we just read what was online, but you had to look for it. The only difference between us and everybody else is that we looked for it and everybody else just like sheep, they just take what they're given. And it wasn't
take
that hard for me to go to. Yeah, exactly. But it wasn't. That's one more point that I want to get your opinion.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It wasn't hard for me to, back in February of 2020, it wasn't hard for me to punch in three words into my search engine. What kills viruses? And then everything else opened up. That's where I got all my information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it was,
yeah.
And that's why Mark Beck, we broadcast that, you know, in February 27th, you know, second last day in February of 2020, I wrote a bill for Congress saying that they can only spend half their money on vaccines, the other half or more has to be spent on treatments and cures and killing the virus. It didn't make sense to me to try and get a vaccination for a virus that's already here. You do it before the virus gets here. You're supposed to get your flu shot before the flu gets here, even though flu shots don't work. You know, but it's the same. But the principle is you get it beforehand. You know, when people travel to Europe, they got the vaccine before they left, not after they got there, you know, because you want to build up immunity ahead of time. So the idea of getting a vaccine for somebody that's already here never made any sense to me, knowing the vaccines take 10 to 15 years to develop. That's,
mm-hmm.
you know, 9 to 14 years too late. It's here. You know. So, yeah, anyway. So
but
we were right, Chelsea. Let's take a victory lap. Yeah.
Yeah, we were right since way back. And,
yep.
And you know, Greg, what I believe happened with the vaccines is they didn't expect that Donald Trump was going to come out with that vaccine very quickly. So the first batch of vaccines were safe, okay? That's why a lot of the people that have taken the vaccine when Donald Trump released it was good. And they were not ready, see? And right away, they got theirs going and they spiked the vaccines because nobody should be dying from this vaccine. Maybe a few here and there, but, you know, it usually happens when you get a flu shot or things like that, you know. But these people, there is a video that they're talking about it, that they chose, like, this batch is deadly. This batch is not. This batch is not. These two other ones are deadly. And they have released those batches of vaccines to the Republican conservative states. That's what the video is saying.
Before I'd question that. See, I don't think you can keep that much control over it. I don't think you can keep that much distribution. See, that doesn't make sense to me, and I'll tell you why. I mean, it's interesting.
Okay.
I want you to talk about it, but it doesn't make sense because the purpose, what these folks want, they don't want to lose. They want to lose enough lives to keep people terrified. Well, they've already done that. Now they want customers, and they want repeat customers, because if you'll take one shot, you'll take a. If you'll take a second, maybe you'll take a booster. If you'll take a booster, maybe you'll take another booster. Every time they give somebody a shot, that's profit in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
That's what one of the doctors was talking about. So it's all based on profit. So the resistors, the people that aren't taking it, they don't want to bother with them because they're never going to be customers.
Well,
so you want the repeat
customers.
So why would you kill off your market
mm-hmm.
with a deadly vaccine? You want to perpetuate it. You want to make it – I don't know what they want to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me – yeah.
Yeah. For example, one of my best friend's nephew, 40
mm-hmm.
years old, problems with oxygen. He had COVID, and he admitted himself at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And they really didn't help this young man. They started giving him remdesivir when we didn't know it was a killer back then. So this young man died, 40 years old, so everybody's panicking in the family. So everybody got vaccinated because the mom says you have to be vaccinated if you're going to come to the funeral because we're going to have more deaths and more deaths. And this is on purposely. They're murdering young men. So everybody freaks out and panics. The same thing here at Sacred Heart. They had a 15-year-old kid die, and all the middle school kids are panicking and telling their parents, I want to get vaccinated because I don't want to die like my friend, blah, 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 blah. You know, this is a,
was their friend
this is a panic.
Was their friend vaccinated, the 15-year-old?
Of course not. That's why they're making an example that he died from COVID, that he needed to be vaccinated. No, he was not vaccinated.
Oh, I see.
No.
Okay, I thought they were just you know, okay. So he
no.
wasn't that. How did he die of COVID?
No, because
15?
If he was vaccinated, he should not have died. You know what I mean? No.
Yeah, okay.
The point is
so why?
To scare the kids, to scare all the people coming, including one of my friends in Washington, D.C. Her daughter-in-law of my friend, he said, you cannot come to the baby shower unless you get tested, and I want to see the test if you come into the baby shower. Give me a break. Don't go to the freaking baby shower. Just stay home.
Exactly.
You know, it's so stupid and ridiculous, this whole thing. And people cave in like a bunch of idiots, and I cannot believe it. And those tests are deadly too, Greg. My friend, she's having severe headaches from having five of those because she was traveling to Colombia and different New York. And the first test they shove up her nose, she started vomiting immediately. So those tests are no good at all, no good. And the blue masks are bad too. So these people have well organized this whole thing 20 years ago. These people are criminals. These people are against humanity. And I can't believe they haven't stopped these killers. These people are killers. We're in a war. We're in a war that China doesn't have to drop a bomb or send missiles here. We are helping China. All our CEOs from the hospitals and banks, my friend working at a bank, the CEO's been trying to force him to get vaccinated. He's been sending so much money and lawyers, this poor guy, because he refuses to get the vaccine. And all these leaders, and including churches, are getting all this money. Yeah, they're getting a lot of money, a lot of churches. And every facility, there are forcing the workers. One of the nursing homes was paying $500 a pop if you get vaccinated right in the facility. Yeah.
Wow.
And a lot of poor people said, well, I really needed the money. And then another girl, she said, my life is not worth $500. I said, good for you. Yeah. So this
That's
is
crazy.
All about the money to help China and Bill Gates. Mm-hmm. Oh, and you know what?
Well, I got something on Bill Gates. Go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I've got a couple articles that you might find interesting. But Bill Gates, you know, I've got one from him, you know, back in March of 2020, talking about socialized medicine as the cure to this coming COVID problem. And we didn't even know, you know, really what the full extent of it yet. But I got a question for you. Do you remember seeing articles on the love notes between Dr. Fascist and now Killery, as Josh has named her? Did you remember? All right. So I think there's something going on behind the scenes. Now you know my view that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are running Brandon, and she takes the domestic, he takes the foreign. And so I'm not sure what this Ukraine thing's about. I think that might be just a Brandon family, you know, economic exercise. And they're not going to rush.
No.
But anyway, you know, Brandon.
We know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. But my question is that does this stretch? Do you see a connection? Do you think that Hillary and Dr. Fascist are still working together for some kind of backdoor national health care? Because he said something really strange the other day. He was talking about, I think it was either kids vaccines or something like that. But he said, or misinformation. He says misinformation goes against a comprehensive public health program. Well, when I hear something like comprehensive public health program, I'm thinking national health care. I'm thinking that's because you've got, when they slip up, that's how you catch them, right? You know, it's like when Dr. Fascist said in a briefing, he says, I talk to governors all the time with Trump standing off to the side. I thought, why would he talk to governors all the time? He's a bureaucrat with the NIAID. He should be talking to Trump all the time. He shouldn't be talking to governors directly. Governors would talk to underlings. They talk to other people. They talk to their own public health people. But why would they talk to him unless he was coordinating lockdowns? And that's what I think was happening.
Yeah.
So that's where he gave the story there. I think he gave it away. See, he slips. He's 80. You know, he's not perfect. You know, he slips. And, of course, he's had so much. You got to remember all your lies. You know, if you're going to be a good liar, you have to remember all your lies. But he said comprehensive public health program. I mean, what did he – so and remember Hillary was – you know, she hates her failures, and she has so many, she must really hate herself. But her national health care under Bill Clinton was a complete flop. Then Obama comes along and does Obamacare and shows her up. But everything Hillary tries to do positive, she fails. You know, the only – you know, look at Benghazi. You know, that was her gun-running operation to Syria. Total botch.
She should have been arrested for that.
Yeah, you know, she 60 people connected with her and Bill have died strangely. You know, I don't know if she was involved with inspiring Waco or not, but she might very well have. But she's, you want to talk about domestic terrorists? Hillary Clinton's a domestic terrorist, and we just haven't caught her at it yet. But it makes sense to me that she would still want to provide healthcare for me.
Don't worry about it.
Well, I hope so. Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Does this make sense, though, that these people want power? I mean, they love power. They worship power. Power is their god.
Mm-hmm.
They have no god.
Yep.
They have power. That's what they worship. So my question is, would it make sense that Dr. Fascist and Hillary, are combining forces behind the scenes to create some kind of national health care mandated schemes? And that's what these mandates come from. That's where Center for Medicare payments, the Medicare system, you know, not reimbursing for treatments that work, reimbursing $100,000 for killing somebody on remdesivir ventilators. Is this, in fact, it seems to me it has all the characteristics of a national health care plan. I couldn't find a single article on this, so I'm just speculating. But that's what it looks like to me. This is backdoor socialized medicine.
Uh-huh. I think the one behind the whole thing is Obama, Bill Gates, Susan Rice, Fauci, George Soros, a little bit of the Clinton, Biden, and China are all behind this whole thing. I think a lot of the money, I don't have proof 100%. I think a lot of the money is coming from China, Bill Gates, Soros, and some Hollywood been pumping and giving money for all this pandemic going on. And, of course, they're making millions of dollars selling the Pfizer and all the vaccines to other countries. But I don't hear a lot of people dying in all those other countries from the vaccines like we do here. So something is not good. Something doesn't add up.
Either. In fact, they don't push remdesivir in other countries that I know of. That's only here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hospitals have a
only
terrible
here.
Track record. Yeah.
They want to kill Americans. They want to take their homes in China. One of the realtors told us that China is behind buying a lot of our properties in cash. And that's one thing I forgot to tell you about El Salvador, the country.
Uh-huh.
The doctor was telling me there's so many Chinese opening business in El Salvador right now. They
well,
have
that's the market.
Moving
that's the future.
So,
yeah.
So many Chinese. Mm-hmm.
Well, because they're always looking for new markets. You know, that was explained. I don't know if you heard the Herb London interview that I did at WBY 3 years ago. It's on Monday's show. So I played that right before Dr. Pry comes on. So that was the second hour of the show yesterday. So you should listen to that. But he talked about the Silk Road and the Belt and Road Initiative, you know. In other words, circling the world with Chinese business opportunities to fund the Chinese communist government. It's fascinating. They use capitalism and free markets to make money to fund their communist totalitarian state. So they get they get the best and the worst of everything that they all can combine together. It's really quite fascinating. But El Salvador, it makes perfect sense to Chinese in El Salvador. They're looking for new markets. So it's like, you know, it's market capitalism outside China, communism inside China. So that's why they're there. So where are our companies? You know, this is why I said Trump, you know, this is why I wrote Trump Organization and my congressman Matt Gaetz and some other folks and said, hey, Trump needs to be in El Salvador. So this is a business opportunity. This is a national opportunity. This is an opportunity because that would have been binding, you know, El Salvador to us. And of course, now you can do it with brand new. But at least it would have been a great opportunity to bind El Salvador, to have trade agreements, all kinds of – we could have exchanges. That's why I was asking about the Tourism Bureau. You know, is this something that we can go down to? Really curious what happens to CPAC. You know, we're one major story away from a huge audience. You know, anybody reports on what I'm doing at CPAC, we're in. You know, things are going to blow wide open here at Action Radio. We'll be able to do some really good work then. But anyway, I found this letter. This article, excuse me, an American Liberty Report. This is the same place. Remember when I did that show on Brian Sicknick, the Capitol Hill police officer that died of two strokes right after January 6th?
At first
they blamed Trump supporters with a fire extinguisher, and that was proven false. Then they said he died. Then they said he died of natural causes. Well, a 40-year-old healthy guy died of natural causes? Really? And then this article came out in the American Liberty Report. Same thing I was thinking was that he died of a COVID vaccine because he had two strokes. And Capitol Hill was the first place that they distributed the vaccine, which isn't a vaccine.
Yeah.
So anyway, this same group, American Liberty Reports, where I found this. This is WikiLeaks finds Dr. Anthony Fauci's secret love letters to Hillary Clinton. This is probably a couple of years old, but I find it interesting that it's the same organization, American Liberty Report, which I do take a look at periodically, I've been trying to find a date on this article. I can't find one. So see if we can derive it from what we read here. But they say a devastating illness is now crippling America's economy. That illness, of course, is Trump derangement syndrome. So this is written during the Trump administration. So let's say 2018, 2019. This is probably written. This is the good news is that we finally located patient zero. It's always important to figure out who the original disease vector was so we can trace the ways in which a terrible mental illness like Trump derangement syndrome has spread throughout the population. The bad news, patient zero for TDS, Trump derangement syndrome, is a doctor on the news every day with President Trump right now. So this is probably spring of 2020, I'm going to guess, this article came out. And who is that briefing the nation on the Chinese virus outbreak that is being used as a cheap excuse to wreck America's economy? Dr. Anthony Fauci. It says if you miss the news, the average age of Italians dying from the Chinese coronavirus remains steady at 81. Yeah, they had a bunch of other problems too, those folks that are dying of COVID in Italy. He says, hey, has anyone else noticed that the doctor in charge of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases is an 80-year-old Italian? I don't think that has anything to do with anything. I think it's just coincidence. He's more Brooklyn than he is Italian, but I just find it funny they mentioned that. Anyway, is it possible that the person urging President Trump to put all 50 states on a six-month economic lockdown might have some sort of personal vested interest in how this virus is dealt with? That's the question. And here it goes. This is just kidding. Doctors are no doubt just as objective, fair, and neutral as the mainstream media reporters. It's not like Dr. Anthony Fauci would sabotage America just because he personally happens to be in the extreme risk group for catching the Chinese virus. See, I've always thought that he knew hydroxychloroquine would cure COVID. That's why he didn't mind, you know, creating it in the Wuhan lab with gain of function and distributing it around the world, because he always knew the cure. He's always known the cure. He's the highest risk group. He's over 80. So how come he's so boldly walking out in front of all these people and not wearing a mask? Because he probably takes hydroxychloroquine. Yeah. What do you think?
Of course.
Ivermectin.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what's going on there. So this is what this article is kind of getting to, although this was, like I said, this is probably spring, summer of 2020. I'm putting it just based on what they're saying. They said someone had the bright idea this past week to search through the Hillary Clinton archives published by WikiLeaks. It turns out that Dr. Anthony Fauci, what we call Dr. Fascist around here, was sending fan letters to his favorite politician back when she was Barack Obama's Secretary of State. And these do not read like letters from an esteemed doctor at the National Institutes of Health writing to the then Secretary of State about matters of importance to the world of medicine. They read more like something that was written by Pepe Le Pew, the horny French skunk that was always chasing unfortunate female cats around in the old Warner Brothers cartoon. That's hysterical. All right. So that's why I say these two are working together behind the scenes. I'm convinced of it. Article says that that's June 1st, 2012. Yeah, go ahead. You got a comment? Yeah, feel free.
No, I feel that's funny.
Well, just imagine, I'm trying to think of Dr. Fascist. Oh, Hillary, I love you, love you. With the big kisses and the whole French thing. Ah, he's Pepe Le Pew. Yeah, Pepe Le Pew,
hey.
La Fauci. What's that?
Hey, Hillary goes for the rich man, you know.
She
has a lot of money.
Yeah, he's
lots
short,
of money.
Yeah. Yes.
Whatever.
I got a visual image in my head I really can't describe right now. I'm not even going to go there. All right.
It's okay.
Back to the article, folks. Thank you. Self-censoring. On June 1st, 2012, Hillary Clinton gave a speech at the World Health Organization in Oslo. Interesting for the Secretary of State. The topic of the speech was what an incredible job China has done in upgrading and expanding its healthcare system. Yeah, that speech aged really well. It says, the day after Hillary gave that speech, here's the email that Dr. Anthony Fauci sent to Clinton's assistant attorney, Cheryl Mills. It says, wow, very rarely does a speech bring me to tears, but this one did it. Talking about telling it like it is, this was a bases-loaded home run. Please tell the secretary that I love her more than ever. You guys too, of course. Best regards, Tony.
Mm.
Wow, isn't that sweet, right? And this is
Tony.
He cried
Tony
at her globalist speech. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm saying Tony Dinoni, like Italiano.
Yeah, Tony. Tony. Tony Le Pew.
Tony Dinoni.
Tony Le Pew. Yeah. He's, and this is the article says. It's so romantic, it's sickening. Yeah. Well, actually, well, think about Bill's out of the picture. Bill's off chasing young women somewhere, and that's what he does. Although he looks terrible.
Yeah, he's too old now, I think.
I don't know what he's got, but he, no, he looks way older than his years. How old is he?
Well, he's
not that old.
Well, I don't 70? Know. Maybe
looks like
70
90
something. He's older.
Yeah.
He looks like 80. I don't know. He looks messed up.
He looks terrible. Yeah. Well, they say it's not the age, it's the money. Anyway, so, but here's the comment from the article. He cried at her globalist speech in which she praised China's healthcare system. Okay. The article goes on. On January 23rd, 2013, Hillary Clinton testified before the House and Senate. You probably remember those hearings in which she tried to justify the deaths of four Americans in Libya, where she was selling arms to ISIS fighters to be transported to Syria in a deal quite possibly negotiated by James Comey, who would become Obama's FBI director a few months later. There's a whole scandal right there we haven't talked about. It says it was in one of those hearings that Hillary famously pounded the table and screeched, at this point, what difference does it make? Yeah. In other words, the death of Americans. Who cares, right? That same day, Anthony Fauci sent this email to Cheryl Mills with the subject line, from your doctor admirer. He says, anyone who had, I got Bianca in the line. Bianca, I'll get right to you. From the letter, Dr. Fauci says, anyone who had any doubts about the secretary's stamina and capability following her illness had those doubts washed away by today's performance before the Senate and the House, where she lied. She faced extremely difficult circumstances at the hearings, and she still hit it right out of the park. Please tell her that we all love her and are very proud to know her. Warm regards, Tony. Not, you know, Dr. Fauci, head of the National NAID. Best warm regards, Tony. Yeah. And then the article says, does his wife know he's been sending Hillary Clinton love letters or letters like that? I love her more than
married?
Ever.
Yeah, I
he is married. Oh, yeah, his wife's tall.
Yeah, I know.
So is everybody's wife, but that's another story. He says, I love her more than ever. I wonder who Dr. Anthony Fauci voted for in 2016. Yeah. It says, if you've been scratching your head during press conferences for the past week and wondering why the doctor guy on TV with President Trump keeps suggesting nutty things like shutting down our entire economy, or that comparing Chinese virus statistics to car crashes or the seasonal flu is a false comparison, I think we know why now. It says, I also think that America should get a second opinion before following any of Fauci's advice, which is clearly designed to sabotage Trump's reelection chances. But that's the question. I'm going to ask Bianca the same question. What do you think the connection between Fauci and Hillary is behind the scenes that we don't know about? Josie?
Well, I thought you said Bianca. So,
well, I do. I haven't made his line yet. But I'm just curious what you think.
Okay.
I'll get to see what Bianca.
Well, like I said, they all are working as a team against the American people. Back since Benghazi, Hillary and Obama sending weapons to the Al-Qaeda, using the U.S. embassy and using the ambassador. And the ambassador didn't want to be part of it. And that's why she deleted all those emails, because he was begging to be off from doing that dirty work for them. You know, so they murdered him. This is all well organized from a long time ago, and nothing happened. She easily broke up her 13 phones, bleached the information, and like nothing ever happened. And then she was supposed to come to court, and she was sick. Yeah, right. This is all well organized, this whole thing. So
yep.
I don't know. It's just sad.
Yep. Let me get Bianca in the line here. Bianca, I'm on my cell phone. The connection. I think we
have to good morning, Justin. You sound very good this morning.
Good morning, Bianchi. Good morning.
But Greg, you sound like you're sitting on your hands or something. I don't know what. But you know, John McCain was pro giving a weapons to Syrian moderates, about similar the way that you see Biden's administration giving weapons to the Ukraine. They had it done right by the weapons there in Afghanistan. They could have saved a whole lot of shipping costs. It would have been right there in the vicinity. But
well, that's the question I had. What are they going to use for weapons? They already gave away $80 billion to the Taliban. You know, we can't just keep, you know, Biden surrendered. You know, Afghanistan was a surrender. And what does he think he's going to do now with 8,500 troops? And what kind of stuff do they have? Like I said, the Taliban's better armed than our own forces are right now.
Well, you know, that's another thing, too. it just goes round in circles. Now, I'll tell you why Hillary would have got involved with the Fauci, because she has the ability to have contacts with foreign governments, which leads to this vaccine working its way on down into the hospital, being administered to the common citizen. The more doses, the more money.
The more money.
Well, I think Fauci has his own connections, because I remember when Patrick Woods was on from Technocracy. That's the magazine he is, and he takes stories about technical bureaucracy. That's what technocracy is. He says there's a Dr. Fauci in every government. There's a Dr. Fascist all over the place. They all talk to each other. You know, General Milley talked to his counterpart in China rather than talk to Trump. You know, Dr. Fascist, well, I'm sure, talked to the French Dr. Fascist and the Chinese Dr. Fascist and the, you know, all the other countries, you know, as well as all the governors and everything else. He basically took over the White House, you know, during the spring of 2020 and kind of ran the show. And he loves the power. But I think he and Hillary are definitely working on a national health care backdoor scheme by taking over as much of they proved they can take over the economy. They can make Americans wear masks. They can close the schools. They can do pretty much anything they want, and people will follow these stupid illegal mandates, and they can get away with it. So why not just impose a national health care system? What's stopping them?
Well, they make these statements, like Milley's statement, saying to his counterpart in China that he would warn him if Donald Trump was attempting to attack. You have those statements that's made, and you have many others, like look at Sotomayor making a statement about 100,000 children have been in the emergency rooms in the hospitals have been affected with the virus. So they make these statements, and nothing seems to happen. Milley should have been kicked out of there for making the actualization that he made.
Well, he should have been kicked out.
He should be arrested.
You know, he should be. Yeah, I mean, I would arrested charges. You know, endangering the. I don't know what the charge would be. He should be removed, pension done away with, whatever jail time. Yeah, you know, there's got to be a crime for calling China, saying that you. Well, I mean, defying the chain of command. There's all kinds of things. I don't know what the military code of justice.
It's treasonous.
But you yeah, well, yeah, except I guess I don't the old argument, you know, are we actually in a war with China? In a way we are. Yeah. I mean, to say that he would defy his president and warn China, yeah, that's treasonous. Yeah, I agree with you there. I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
And
so
you know, Greg, why are we so worried about Ukraine? Why don't we worry about our borders? Why don't we protect our border with all that money that they want to send Ukraine and weapons? We need it here to protect our country instead of them over
there. We aren't worried about Ukraine. Brandon's worried about Ukraine. Brandon had business dealings in Ukraine.
Well, I'm not.
Brandon paid his son, you know, millions of dollars. I think he's being extorted. I don't think we, the American people, give a damn about Ukraine. You know,
no.
Not that we wish him any harm, but we just don't want to be involved with
them. Of course not. I have many friends in the Ukraine. Go ahead.
Well, I see on the news they're giving Ukrainians guns. You can see them all hunched down and dug in order to protect their borders. Well, let's give ranchers down along the southern border the same weapons so that they can protect their property where it's being invaded. The homes are being broken into. The cattle are being rustled. Let's do the same thing for America.
Oh, no.
Well, that just proves the argument. Yeah, that just proves the argument.
Democrats hate America.
Yeah.
They hate America with a passion. Look at all these platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Amazon. They're kissing the butt of president from China. When the president from China came to visit here to meet with the criminal Obama. He first went to Facebook headquarters, and he met with the criminal CEO Zucker. What's his name?
Which one?
Facebook.
I'm not sure.
Facebook.
Oh, Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg. He met with the president from China. Met with him first. Went to his desk, had a meeting, and all that. And then that little trader. He goes, hey, can you name my child? I want you to have the honor for you to name my child with his Chinese wife that he has or whatever, Oriental wife. Can you believe that? What a traitor to American people. Facebook, Amazon, Twitter, YouTube, all of them are traitors to America. They have sold themselves to China. Yeah, including Biden. And who's running the country? Obama, because Raggedy Ann, she came out in The View, and she's talking to her. I don't know if you've seen that video. And she spilled out that, oh, I don't want to quit. No, I'm not leaving because I love to work for President Obama. And she corrected herself, and then she said Biden.
Wait, what was this? Was Kamala Harris on The View? I think I've heard this, but I haven't heard the story. Let's get the details.
She was being interviewed by one of those criminal, Joyce Reed, whatever. And she said, hey, I heard rumors that you're going to retire and all that. I said, oh, no, I don't think so, not yet, because I have the pleasure to work for President Obama. And then Biden, she corrected herself. Of course, because Obama's running the show. We knew it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Susan Rice and Obama running the show and the country, literally. Yeah. I thought I'd send you that video. It's a short one. Look,
I get so many videos, and I have, I have to look for my own research too. So it's kind of hard to. I'll get to it.
So,
the
liars will spill out the truth eventually. The truth comes out accidentally. Yeah.
So that's when they spill it. You know, when he talked about Harris being president, when Brandon says, you know, president. That's what's really going on. I mean, these things slip. You know, when Fauci said, I talk to governors every day, or the recent one where he said the comprehensive public health program, which I think is national health care. I found an article in National File back in June 24th.
Wait, I wanted to tell you, can I tell you quickly before I get off because I have to go get ready? Biden was behind the podium, and I don't know if they were done with the reporters and all that. And he cursed out one of the Fox News reporters. He called him the
Peter Ducey.
Peter Ducey, yeah. And he didn't hear it because it was a little loud, but everybody heard it. And if Donald Trump would have done that, he would have been crucified. But, you know, criminals get away with everything, and it's good and dandy. And I'm sick and tired of it. And I'm going
to
let you go.
It's the morning show. Okay,
yeah,
good.
I have to get ready to go make my my living.
There you go. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. God bless you. Hey, nice talking to you, Bianchi. I wish you would have come earlier.
Yeah, I was listening.
Oh, okay. All right. God bless.
Are you
take care of yourself, Josie, and be careful.
Okay. I will. Bye-bye.
Yeah, so today's been kind of a crazy show because we had technical difficulties. Like I say, I had a storm overhead. Apparently, Blog Talk goes out on Wi-Fi, even though my computer's connected by a hardwire Ethernet. So we've got difficulties when we get storms. Then I had to go to my phone. I tried calling back into the show. That didn't work. You know, so we've had a bunch of issues today. Besides the fact that today is more conceptual, I'm not really sure. I haven't connected all the dots yet, but it seems to me, this was reading the Fauci-Hillary connection, they're really trying to create a national healthcare system because what's going on now has all the hallmarks of national healthcare, ration care, mandated care. You know, they're doing all the things that they're paying out only for what they want to pay out for. You know, the other treatments are being demonized or blocked or illegal. You know, it's like those kids in England that people tried to fly to the United States to get saved because the British wouldn't treat them because it was too expensive because they're too worried that all families would bring their kids with, you know, really rare, horrible diseases in to be treated. But they wouldn't let them go to the United States either to be cured simply because that would defeat the whole point of a socialist system that everybody has to go in, which means everybody has to die in if that's what they say. So I think there's a national health care backdoor mandated, you know, pathway here that these two people are trying to bring in. I just don't think anybody else has really covered it yet because I know I looked and I couldn't find anything. Pianki, what do you think of my theory? I'm just curious.
Well, if you have a national health care where pharmaceuticals and other industries can take advantage of, then it opens up the way for contributions to be made to the likes of the Hillary Foundation and others, the Obama Foundation. So there you are.
Well, yeah, if you put it that way, now you've got basically a fascist healthcare system. Because fascism is the merging of corporations and government into a single entity. And that's what you have here with, you got big pharma, big tech, and big government health especially, all kind of merging and cooperating together, plus big media. You know, so they're all making profits. I don't know how much media is invested in pharmaceuticals, but I bet you the big folks are. The people that own the six major corporations that run most of the media in this country, I'm sure they're invested heavily in pharmaceuticals. So big tech, although they may own pharmaceuticals, I'm not sure, but they're certainly invested heavily in them. They're invested so heavily that that's their vested interest. So they're making billions off the investments. Big Pharma is making billions off selling the product. The folks in government, as came out in the hearing yesterday again, you know, half the NIH, you know, shares a patent with Moderna on their vaccine, which is not a vaccine. You know, this stuff goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It's the same, you know, it's the same group keep coming back. And why they wouldn't extend that into other areas, I think it's just a matter of time. You know, they've taken over so much of the country's healthcare by putting everything into COVID, blocking everything else. People are getting cancer. People are getting all kinds of things. They're not getting tested for other things. You know, it's a struggle to get any kind of other care other than COVID. COVID seems to be dominating the market, but I think that's on purpose. So they can dominate healthcare by dominating the COVID treatments and then transferring that to everything else. Just the theory, can't prove it, but that's the way things seem to be going.
Well, yeah, that's a good point that you're making. It's going to continue on. And you're absolutely right. It's a backdoor way. Just like they use these backdoors way to ultimately take away your weapons and your ammunition.
Well, I think it's very similar. I think gun control and health control are very similar. If you look, and Josie and Josh was on earlier, didn't really pick up on this, I think, as much. But I think if you look at it, what does gun control do? Limits your guns, limits your availability, makes them too expensive, says which guns you can and can't own, says where you can carry them or usually where you cannot carry them, you know, tells you, has all kinds of regulations, and all you want to do is protect yourself. So they're taking away all your options and all your freedom, and the government will tell you, while the government itself has all the guns they want. You know, so I'm still going to be working on my program to disarm the federal government and get rid of the FBI. That's a huge bill. I got to get through CPAC first. That's the most important thing right now, to get my media credential and get everything together for that. But there's some big projects we need to work on. But you look at gun control and health control, they're pretty much the same thing. Monoclonal antibodies, Josie was reporting, Shelby, early in the show reported that monoclonal antibodies have been denied to Florida now. You know, health control. What's the difference between banning guns and banning hydroxychloroquine, both of which can save your life? I think it's the same idea.
Yeah.
I could do a whole show on that. You know, health
control. Absolutely right. Your ability to be able to protect yourself ultimately saves your life. Your ability to choose which medicine that you want to use, like to have in order to save your life. So they're both basically the same.
Yeah, it's funny. If you look at Dr. Zelenko's logo, he has hydroxychloroquine, the chemical formula, which he shapes into a gun, firing a bullet into a COVID virus. You know, hydroxychloroquine destroys the wall of a virus so that the zinc can go in and destroy the genetic material. I mean, that's how they work. So you got zinc in the bullet, and hydroxychloroquine is the casing, the powder. You know, I mean, that's how it works. It's a fascinating thing, but gun control is health control, and I just see these two going together so well, in a bad way. I mean, I don't mean so well. Here's something interesting, too. A friend of mine sent me this. Next COVID variant is here as cases pop up in Washington State. Now, Washington, if you remember, that's where the nursing homes were first affected. That's where the COVID first showed up in the United States, first Washington, and then I think San Francisco and Los Angeles. But it was Washington State. They put it into a nursing home, and, of course, most of the nursing home people died. Anyway, Seattle, KOMO. State health officials Monday said that BA.2, I have no idea what that, I guess they ran out of Greek letters. BA.2, the newest variant of COVID-19, has been detected in Washington State, which is still grappling with a surge in cases from the Omicron and Delta variants.
Well, Delta's basically gone. We know that from the Senator Johnson hearing yesterday. Omicron is really the only cold virus. It's the most mild thing. It's a cold. You can't tell it from a regular cold. I think I had it for 5 days, and I can't tell you whether it was Omicron or whether it was a cold. Although it struck me as remarkably similar, but a weaker version of when I think I had COVID 2 years ago. So now I'm immune again. Great. The article says a representative for the Washington State Health Department said in an email that the state has already logged 2 confirmed cases of the newest variant, which was found earlier this month. Then they say it's too early to tell if we are going to see more cases of this variant. And it says so far fewer than 100 confirmed BA.2 cases in the U.S. have been reported. I didn't even know they had 100. And then according to the World Health Organization, here's the contradiction, the newest variant of the coronavirus has been reported across the globe and is spreading fast. Well, wait a minute, where the hell did this come from? You know, how did it get across the world that fast unless it was introduced? This is what I think this is all planned. Then it says the health organization said BA.2 was first discovered in December and has been difficult to detect. Well, why wasn't that worldwide news in December? You know, it's just there's something really wrong here, but we've got another variant. I guess the Omicron wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. It wasn't terrifying people. People are actually glad to get it because they know they get immunity afterwards. And you can't have that because then you can't solve a problem. So they need a new variant. So surprise, surprise, BA.2 comes on the scene, released all over the world simultaneously.
People should be able to see into this now.
Yep.
I know I have, so I put it kind of on the back shelf, and I figured that it would run its course. Where I'm at, you're seeing people not downing the masks in and out of the stores.
Oh, they're not? Good. Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's about to run its course. I'll tell you something else that keeps don't want to die is in these school districts, these boards don't want parents not to have their child being exposed to some of these illicit reading materials. When parents get rid of them, the librarian bring them back. And I think that in that case, that those people need to be gotten rid of.
No, you need to get rid of government schools because you're never going to reform them. The people that are attracted to working in government schools are the totalitarian leftists. Let's be clear. The people that are running the teachers' unions are totalitarian leftists. You will never purge all the totalitarian leftists from schools. You're always going to have a majority because those are the folks that want to work there. Oh, yes, Greg, they're good teachers. Yeah, I know they're good teachers. Okay, fine. That's because they want to teach. But they could teach just as well in a private school. They don't have to teach in a government school. Good teachers can teach anywhere. The fact that they're subjected to a government school is just a misfortune of our system right now that allows for government schools. But if you didn't allow for government schools, the good teachers, in fact, you know, you'd have a lot more good teachers because the bad teachers would have been fired. Anyway, point being that it's just too, you know, you're tinkering. If you you're going around the edges. If you replace a few school board members, if you replace a few teachers, if you get rid of some policies, you're tinkering because the momentum
is
toward
rid of
the – What's that?
You're not gonna get rid of government schools because of the things that's associated with it, especially in sports. But there should be the ability for parents to have choice, and that there would be the final frontier for parents to put their children where they want to, and the money follows the child.
Well, if schools didn't do academics, those were done at home, and schools had things like sports and band and theater and all the things that they've gotten rid of, that might be really interesting. But they could also do that privately.
Yeah,
too. Yeah.
Private schools are never going to be able to compete like that because private schools just don't have that type of funding. So,
well, if they got government funding like public schools, they would. What if the education money was turned to private schools and it was just given to private schools? So here you go, teach well, and parents chose which private schools their kids went to. What if it was a purely market-based education system and education taxes were given, or better still, parents got credits. In other words, you got a tax credit. So any money you spend on education, you know, was a tax credit. So your net loss, you know, your net loss is zero. So money that you would have paid to taxes anyway, you can spend on education in the form of a tax credit or a voucher if you're low income.
Yeah, well, I believe a parent should have the choice themselves. And I think there's a good programs and things that's going on in public schools, especially charter schools, which are public schools. You got medical programs,
yeah,
you got aviation programs,
yeah.
And so on, so on, so on.
Okay. Well, the special programs, I think, are worth it, but it's just the general academics where they totally screw up. Let me do one more article here. We've only got about 6 minutes left. Another National File article. And I'm sort of putting together this plan in my head that that Hillary, Fauci, and other folks are kind of getting together to, again, bring about a national health care system. Now, here's what's interesting. This is April 19th, 2021, so almost a year ago. Vatican to host Fauci, Chelsea Clinton, vaccine company CEOs. So, in other words, Fauci and Clinton don't want to be seen together because that would be too obvious. But they're meeting everybody else that's associated with them. I had a previous article that Fauci met with Bill Gates' dad and Bill Gates and Soros. So that's where the money connection is coming from. Now we got a meeting with the Pope and Chelsea Clinton. So, I mean, the connections between these people, they're all talking to each other. They're all meeting at conferences, plus the economic folks at the World Economic Forum. Anyway, excuse me. It's almost the end of the show, you can tell. It says the Vatican is co-hosting, or they did co-host, a health conference in May that will showcase speeches by Bill and Hillary Clinton's daughter, Chelsea, vaccine guru, Dr. Fascist, these are my words, guru Deepak Chopra, and the Pfizer and Moderna chief executive officers who are mass-producing vaccines for the public. Isn't that fascinating? Look who's getting together. Government, all right, religion, state, you know, the big religion, the big corporate folks, Pfizer and Moderna, all meeting in the same place. Now, you can't tell me they're not all working together. All right? Anyway, Pope Francis has been criticized in the past for straying into leftist politics. Yeah, no kidding. And this conference won't help turn around his image. So the question is, that they're asking in the article, what exactly is the religious significance of mass vaccination? Regardless, the fifth International Vatican Conference will be focused on pandemic matters and how to, quote, unite to prevent. Oh, there's that. We're all in this together. We have to vaccinate. We're all in this together. Anyway, the May 6th to 8th conference is called Exploring the Mind, Body, and Soul, a Global Healthcare Initiative, How Innovation and Novel Delivery Systems Improve Human Health. So there you go. So not only is it national healthcare, it's international healthcare. It's world healthcare. So these folks are all going to get together in conferences and regulate healthcare around the world. Well, they've done that with these vaccines. So what you've got here is a situation of all the players, the elites are all coming together in this one place in this big conference. Well, actually, they did it a year ago in May. And so it's same people, same old folks again. We have about 3 minutes left, so I'll put my articles away. But, yeah. Do you see how this is all tied in?
Well, they're probably going after the religion and threatening to take away the tax deduction on offerings.
Well, I think that, see, that's interesting. You know, the Catholic Church is wealthy. It's the third largest financial entity in the world. I think U.S. government is first. Probably the economy, the Chinese government and economy is second. I think the Vatican's third. You know, in terms of wealth and holdings, because they got property. Catholic Church has property all over the world. Huge real estate holdings. Massive fortunes for hundreds of years. Get about 3 minutes left.
Yeah, because when people die, they will their property to the Catholic, to the churches.
Yeah, that's crazy. Church doesn't need it. You know, but it brings out a whole different dimension we haven't even thought about yet, is how is religion playing into this? Now, I don't see a lot of American churches guilting people into, that's not true. Josie talks about her church. Do you see that too? I mean, I'm not a church goer, so I don't really know. But do you hear about churches really pushing vaccines on people?
Well, yeah, I heard that Jesse Jackson ate his birthday, which was streaming. He put out a decree to the people in the audience to go out and get 100 members and get vaccinated.
You know, it's so ridiculous. Again, going back to the Johnson hearing, we know this stuff doesn't work. We know it's making mass profits. We know it doesn't prevent the spread, doesn't stop the spread. It may or may not lessen your symptoms. We know that the booster immunity lasts about 2 days. That was the latest thing that came out. Then it goes back to the regular two-shot level. And that declines radically anyway. We know that we have things that work that are cheap. You know, I just kind of summarize this every day in my head. And we know that people are don't know. They're not following the science. You know, they're following the masters of this mass psychosis. And it just keeps going on and on. And I think that they're not going to release their power until, A, we take it from them, or, B, we have a complete national health care or world healthcare dictatorship. That's where this seems to be going. Those are our choices, freedom or slavery under healthcare.
Well, it's always the same thing, even over in some African countries. If you don't take the shot, you're going to lose your job. What little job there are.
Yeah, so lose your job, lose your life. You know, be crippled. There are so many injuries that came out. Did you see any of the Senator Johnson hearing yesterday? Because it was pretty amazing.
No, I was probably, my attention was drawn elsewhere.
It's on the Action Radio group we posted. You can just go to YouTube and look for a second opinion Senator Johnson hearing. It's there and it's amazing to watch this. And also yesterday we had a pretty incredible show too. We had Dr. Pryor on this usual at 8 o'clock, but at 7 o'clock I played, this is in the second hour, played one of our classic interviews from Herb London back from my WEBY days. And the things that he was saying then, which in 2018 we did that interview, and the things that apply today is so amazing. And we've lost so much, you know, from Trump to Brandon. It's pretty incredible. Well, we only have 15 seconds left. We were fraught with technical difficulties. Apparently my voice is breaking up. I lost my connection to the show and things went kind of crazy. So, Bianchi, let's do it again tomorrow.